the buyer could be anywhere. That's why we're everywhere. So relax. Our global network will market your home worldwide. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit Coldwell Banker Moves.
America Safer. Nation's top cop, U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, was joined by FBI Director Robert Mueller in a news conference yesterday to again detail that America is under threat of terrorist activities, even though no definitive date or place has been mentioned. Both confirmed that there's been an increase in American intelligence about plans for a major attack in the summer. They said they've received the information from multiple sources. Ashcroft noted that following the March 11th train bombings in Madrid, Spain, an al-Qaeda spokesman said the terrorist organization's plans for an attack on America were 90% complete. Despite this, there are no immediate plans to increase the U.S. terror alert. Bush administration has taken heavy criticism for not being more open about the information they've received. There's word now that the Bush administration is considering easing environmental requirements for a multitude of gasoline blends and streamlining permits for new refineries to increase fuel supplies and fight soaring prices. This, according to the Commerce Secretary Donald Evans. Evans said the cost of gasoline was affecting driving habits, with people making fewer trips to the store. The national average is about $2.06 a gallon, but obviously much higher in certain parts of the country. Evans, a former Texas oil company executive, expressed concern that the price run-up at the pump could force the nation into a recession. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
A lot of birds winter here. Go out to the wetlands, you have a pretty strong likelihood of seeing bald eagle.
It's also an important nursery ground for fish.
Crystal Kane and Dr. Michael McCrander are environmentalists. They're helping restore Louisiana's sensitive coastal wetland.
Louisiana has about 40% of the nation's wetlands.
But 80% of the wetland losses have occurred in Louisiana.
Their help is vital to the wetland, to our energy needs, and to the companies they work for, Shell and its affiliates.
As you lose the wetland buffer, you lose your protection. And when you lose your protection, it impacts our country's energy.
If the system goes away, all of our options are gone. Shell understands that.
While the wetland also protects a quarter of the country's energy supply, that's not the only reason these two are here.
It's our backyard.
To find out more, visit Shell.com.
Hey, okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. Hmm? You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension, Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
So what else is news?
She said, I think that after September 11, the American people are valuing life more, and we need policies to value the dignity and worth of every life.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
The fundamental issue between us and the terror network is that we value every life. So that's it. September 11th is an opportunity to stand up against choice.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
T Today we'll have our daily liberal already daily liberal agenda to help you plan your day. Plus, does John Ashcroft know how Osama bin Laden's voting? Right now, as always, good morning, Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. How is it today finding you?
How is it? It's still looking.
It still hasn't found you yet?
Everything is wonderful.
Clearly hasn't found my tongue yet either. I mean, I can't seem it's like garbling out of my face.
I'm fine.
To start the show. I'm glad to hear that you're fine.
I've been kayaking in New York. I didn't know it was possible, but it is.
Wait.
Where, the Hudson?
Yesterday morning, you've gone kayaking?
Yeah, I wish I could have said I went this morning. No, I went yesterday evening.
You went kayaking.
Kayaking around at the edge of Manhattan last night. Isn't
Jesus,
that wild?
We gotta get her another scooter.
Yeah, really.
It's gotta be an easier way to get around. She's like, if I can't have a scoot, I'm taking a boat.
Wait till I come back from LA with a wetsuit. Then you're in trouble.
That's it. The only way to go uptown is scuba.
I would probably do it.
I bet you would. Now, explain the kayaking thing.
They have this sea kayaking boat club downtown.
Yeah.
There's a number of them all the way up the Hudson River, I think, on the edge of Manhattan. I was cycling, my other mode of transport, on Saturday morning, and I saw these guys out in boats, so I stopped.
Yeah.
I said, what are you doing?
Oh, wow.
And you know what? It's right next to that circus trapeze thing, which is the next thing I'll probably do down by the Hudson. So they said, it's a boat club, and you can come on, you know, certain times of the week and show up. And so I showed up yesterday.
And you just went, it was a single kayak thing?
Yeah,
you just get in it?
Yeah, it's a single kayak. And they give you the feathered paddle, and they show you how to do it. And the last time I went kayaking was when I was about 14, and I got stuck in a storm and had to be rescued after blowing the whistle. So this was more successful.
Well, that's good.
It's really fun.
Are you insured?
They did make you sign a waiver.
I would think, yeah. I mean, this is the Hudson.
I can swim.
If you imagine that after work, though, like after work, I got all worked up and napped. She's out in the water with oars. She's like, oh, my God.
And this was at night. This is after sundown?
No, it was 6.
Oh, 6.
Evening.
That's not so bad.
That's not so bad.
I went and did Tough Crowd last night with Colin Quinn. I didn't announce it to our listeners yesterday. I don't know why. I space those kind of things out. Sometimes I don't tell my mother when I'm on Conan O'Brien. I don't know why. And then they always call me up and go, why didn't you tell us you were going to be on? Because I didn't want you to call me the next day and say, what did you think? Was it okay? I thought it was okay. You looked good. What does that mean? My mother says that. But Tough Crowd was okay. I was just happy that, like, one of the things that we did, one of the bits was they showed that picture of Lindy England with the Iraqi guy
laying down on the leash.
It's a very disturbing picture. But the Act 4 piece, which is where you talk to the camera, just you doing a monologue type of thing, was if you were her defense attorney, Lindy England, what would your closing statements be? And I had this line that I was really hoping that God would get a laugh because I was scared that it might not. You know, the line was, I think we all look at this picture and think the same thing. Who's really the victim here? Right?
Cold.
But, you know, there was a fear that I had was that, like, that some people, maybe in Colin's audience, would be like, that's a good question.
Oh, you know? Wow.
But thank God it got built into a nice laugh. And the whole show was actually pretty fun yesterday. You know, sometimes that show can get a little intense and a little chaotic, but it was fun. It was fun.
No fist fights, no.
No fist fights. Patrice O'Neill wasn't there telling me to shut up. Instead, Nick DiPaolo was there telling me to shut up. But I've known Nick a long time, and he's easier to talk to. When Patrice starts saying shut up, there's no stopping the train that is Patrice O'Neill from dominating the show.
And he's like a black conservative guy, right?
I don't know conservative, but he's definitely a black guy.
Okay.
You know,
rather massive.
He's a big black dude, and it's all about black and white. You know what I mean? It's not really conservative.
Well, that sounds like Charles Barkley, actually.
Yeah, he's got some funny jokes. So he's got a great joke about diabetes that just kills me.
Oh Lord!
No, the cat. He's got diabetes. You know.
He's got diabetes.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
And he does this bit about. He opens a bit by talking about smokers, like you know when you know he can't understand how people can smoke because you know they know they're going to get cancer. There's nothing good about it. You know. I can't remember how the bit goes, but he talks about having diabetes and finally understanding. About smokers, because he's been at the supermarket, and he's looking at that bag of cookies going, I don't need both feet.
That is cool.
He's a funny cat. He really is. So Another funny cat, John Ashcroft.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah. He stole my line, man.
Side-splitting guy.
Well, Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller.
We better
okay.
get it right, dude. You know those emails are going to come in. I think
Robert Mueller.
And you better pronounce it phonetically properly to the country that it came from.
Yes. Well, they both want your help. Not you, Marin. You, our listening audience. That's right. The Justice Department says Al-Qaeda is getting ready to launch an attack inside the U.S. in the next few months. Months, that is. They've got, quote, credible intelligence from multiple sources, unquote. But those sources didn't enlighten the lawmen with details of specific plots. They're looking for seven people who they say have terrorist leanings. That always scares the bejesus right out of me.
Dude, they got seven people. They got pictures. They got names. They got resumes. They got their high school diplomas.
And
their birthdays.
They may all be as bad as Ashcroft says they are. But when I hear that they have terrorist leanings, not that they've committed any acts of violence, not that they've gone out and done anything illegal, but that they have leanings, I get very, very nervous. Because I figure these people could end up in a gulag someplace for the next 10, 12 months.
You're not as nervous as most Muslims, Arab Americans who are reading this.
Well, I don't know. You know, because
they're even more nervous.
They've done some sweeps, actually, in African-American Muslim communities, well, quiet as is kept.
One of those cats was he was a converted Muslim from Southern California. I think his name is Adam Perlman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the truth of the matter is my suspicion or my fears that I was talking about yesterday about even, you know, getting phone calls that are to a wrong number from somebody who's a suspected in something could lead me to be a suspect. It's that easy to get on these lists is what you're saying.
Yeah,
right?
It could be. I mean, now, be careful, because Ashcroft and Mueller are actually asking for the public's help in tracking these people down. They don't even know whether all of them are now inside the U.S. But be careful, because all are described as armed and dangerous. So I guess maybe they are. I mean, maybe they're not just, maybe they don't just lean. Maybe they've gone all the way. Maybe they're walking around strapped, and, you walk up to them and say something, you might get shot. Okay. Yeah. So
it's a kind of interactive America's Most Wanted sponsored by the NRA.
Yeah.
Well, that's the weird thing is, if this is a war on terror, they seem to have an awful lot of information on these people, right? Mm-hmm. And if they put in this whole new Homeland Security system and it was really working, shouldn't they have these people if they have that much information and they even suspect that some of them are in this country? I mean, what have they been doing with all that Homeland Security money? This seems like the type of thing that they should be on top of, given the type of provisions they've made in the Patriot Act and all this other stuff that, that is very questionable in terms of human rights. But why, or civil rights, why don't they have these guys?
That's a very good question. And, I mean, the question I have is if you as a public-spirited citizen find one of these people and then contact your government and this guy finds out and shoots you, can you get compensated by the government?
Oh, you would hope.
But somehow I don't think so.
They're barely compensating veterans that come back from Iraq. I can't imagine that you would. But is that the kind of thing where, you're in a convenience store, it's like, the guy's here. He's right here. I'll talk to him. I'll hold him.
Yeah, I'll hold him until you get here.
This is presumably part of the reason that they're doing this is because they could have had some public help getting the guys who were responsible for 9/11. And they knew of certain people who were in the United States then but didn't do anything with publicizing the information.
Yeah, and wasn't there an FBI agent that had some information?
In Arizona, right.
Yeah, that was totally ignored.
Yeah, there was an organizational problem, and there was a lot of, in-house competition
but
about
they
information.
Fixed it.
Yeah, no, they didn't fix it that well. I can't believe they don't have these guys yet. They have pictures of them.
Well, listen, despite the appeal, despite the possibility of attack, the Attorney General, John Ashcroft, who, by the way, lost an election to a dead guy, says the nation is winning the war on terror.
For 32 months now. We have not had a major terrorist attack on American soil. We are winning the war on terror, but we should never forget that it is a war.
If we're winning the war on terror, how come there have been more terrorist attacks in the world now since 9/11? Since they've instituted this war on terror. In the 4 years prior to September 11th, there were 8 attacks, 349 fatalities, 7 nations involved. In the 3 years after September 11th, 14 attacks, 599 fatalities, 10 nations involved. And the entire war in Iraq has consolidated terror. I mean, dig this. from the International Institute of Strategic Studies. The Iraq conflict, quote, has arguably focused the energies and resources of al-Qaeda and its followers while diluting those of the global counterterrorism coalition that appeared so formidable after the Afghan intervention, the survey said. So it also goes on to say, driving all of al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan dispersed them to many countries, making them almost invisible and harder to combat. The U.S. occupation of Iraq brought 1,000 foreign Islamic fighters into the country who weren't there before. So he's lying. We are not winning the war on terror.
I also don't understand how they can say we're winning the war on terror, they're winning the war on terror, at the same time as they're asking for volunteers. They're asking
to fight the war.
Yeah, they're asking the public to join in and, like, give us what you have.
I mean, if we're winning the war on terror and everything's going peachy, how come the new dude they wanted to be prime minister of Iraq was like, you know what,
As Marin kind of sort of predicted yesterday, he's like, said, I'm not putting a target on my back.
Yeah, they're trying to fit him for a customized flak jacket and showing him his new bulletproof car. He's like, you know what, maybe I'll just lay low for a while, see how this plays out before I take the gig.
Well, you know, there are those who are skeptical about the threat report's timing. They say it's kind of suspicious that it comes in the wake of sagging poll numbers for President Bush and an ineffective speech by that same president on Monday. But those people are cynical, they're unpatriotic, and they're political partisans. Am I right?
Yeah.
You talking about me again?
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
I mean, come on. It's like 2 days after. It's like, remember, be afraid. And they're not even going to raise the alert level. Like,
no, stays yellow.
After we come back, I'll read a list of the times that they've raised the alert level. Because I didn't even know about it half the times that they did raise the alert level. And this time they're like, things are really bad, but we don't want to alarm you because it's not specific yet.
Do you know where it really is safe, though?
What?
In a kayak.
You would hope. If you're fast enough and you see it coming.
Hey, my paddling stroke is ace now.
Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot. Up next, we'll tell you what a court said about assisted suicide in Oregon, right here on Air America Radio.
Are you a shift worker or work nights? Do you have complaints of excessive sleepiness on the job, including your commute to and from work? If so, you may have evidence of chronic shift work sleep disorder, a medical condition with excessive sleepiness associated with working nights. Clinilabs Incorporated is conducting a research trial of an investigational medication for excessive sleepiness associated with chronic shift work sleep disorder. If you have complaints of excessive sleepiness and are working a late or overnight shift and are 18 to 65 years of age, you may qualify to participate. Daytime and overnight visits are required, and compensation for time and travel will be provided. Qualified participants will receive trial-related medication and care at no cost. Call Clinilabs Incorporated now at 212-994-4578 to see if you qualify. That's Clinilabs Incorporated at 212-994-4578. 212-994-4578.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
Spring is my least favorite season. My allergies act up so bad, I feel like I need one of those surgeon's masks to go outside. I tried Claritin and Benadryl Allergy, but they never really worked for me. Then I found out they're only made to help some of my symptoms. I needed something that would help all of them.
Tylenol Allergy Sinus provides complete relief from itchy, watery eyes and runny nose, as well as sinus pain, pressure, and congestion. Stop. Think. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
Allergies hit you where it hurts most, your wallet.
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLOW-NASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLOW-NASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Twenty-one past the hour. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with the kayaking Sue Ellicott and the nooning Mark Riley.
That's in the 8 o'clock hour.
We'll go into that. I was talking about these terrorists, elevating the threat level. The number they've done it, I guess, five times since they've initiated the threat system. September 10, 2002, they raised it to orange. I remember that. That was the first time. And then it was just sort of like, okay, I'm alert. What do we got? Bring it on. I'm ready to go. And then, you know, the second time, I guess, was February 7th. They went from yellow to orange based on the possibility of attacks during Muslim holidays associated with the pilgrimage.
What year was that?
That was February 7, 2003. See, I don't remember that one because I think after the first one, as an American, after the first time it went to orange, you realize, like, well, I'm already a little aggravated. Wasn't so all this is really doing is making you a little more aggravated and freaked out.
Wasn't that the Condoleezza Rice terror alert? Wasn't that the one she announced, the one in February 2003?
It was revolving around the Muslim holidays, if that rings a bell.
I think that was her.
Because here's the other one, March 17, 2003, yellow to orange, based on reports that sleeper cells of terrorists in the United States might have been considering attacks on nuclear power plants. See, I don't even remember that one at all. I missed that.
Power plants?
I think I just tuned it. After a couple, and I thought I was going to travel, and then they boosted the alerts, and then nothing happened. In the end, I just tuned out of them. I mean, I don't know how many people really pay close attention to these things now. You think they do?
I don't think they really represent. I don't know what it represents. A change in behavior. I think we talked about this yesterday a little bit, is that all it does is make you a little more freaked out, makes you feel a little more powerless, and it will make you look at people weird on the subway, you know, for a long time.
But you know what? It's different here because when it goes up here, you see more military people. I mean, you may see
in the trains.
But you see more people. You see cops sticking their heads in train stops, you know, out in Canarsie someplace, people looking inside to make sure everything. You see a tangible sort of difference. And part of that is because, you know, Ray Kelly, who's the police commissioner here in New York, was involved in federal counterterrorism efforts before,
right?
In between stints as police commissioner, so he has a very heightened sense, I think, of that. And so, in a city like this, you might notice. Most other places, I'm not sure you do.
I think people feel it here more because of the concentration of people and because it's where 9/11 happened.
But
I don't think if you're about to go off and shop at the Mall of America, that, and there's a terrorist alert that increases, that you think, you know what, I'll stay at home. I think these things don't have that much impact on people unless they're getting on airplanes or they're in New York City.
Thank you, tomorrow, getting on an airplane. But aren't you too?
I am getting on an airplane tomorrow, too. Yeah, and another one on Monday.
And then my neighbors, you know, that whole thing. Because, like, you know, I really give people the benefit of the doubt. But, I live in Queens, a lot of Muslim people. And now, like, whenever there's suspicions, you know, it's like I'm looking across the hall. Hey, what's up, fellas? What do you got going on in there? You know, I don't want to be rude or anything. Remember I helped you out with your groceries the other day? And just give me 2 days' notice, all right? Give me a heads up if something bad's going
to
go on.
Have you tried to learn, like, Arabic or Farsi? Or,
no, I'm no good.
So you understand
languages.
What they're saying?
They're good guys. You know what I mean? And, even if they were in a cell, they'd probably be, you know, good guys on the, you know, face-to-face.
They'd be in a good cell.
Yeah.
You had the happy cell. So I just read this piece, and I've always been fascinated with Dr. Kevorkian. I think he's a real pioneer. I think he's a real cowboy. I think he really is a great secular thinker. And it saddens me that he's in jail. And there's a federal appeals court in Oregon declared the Bush administration has no right to interfere with Oregon's assisted suicide law. The only one in the country to allow doctors to help patients end their lives. See, I think assisted suicide is a great thing. For any number of reasons. I think they should broaden the reasons why you can kill yourself.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
Like, I mostly it's people who are dying from a painful illness and want to have a choice to die with a certain amount of dignity. But I don't know why this isn't allowed. I don't know why people can't make this choice. I think it's something to do with the insurance lobby. I really think that the insurance companies really want the opportunity to drain the dying out of their entire life savings before they die. You know what I mean? Because if you choose to kill yourself early and say, I want to check out because this is going to be long and painful, it's going to cost my family a lot of money, you know, the insurance companies are like, it's not a moral thing. It's sort of like, yeah, we can make hundreds of thousands of dollars on this guy's disease.
But you know what? It's the same logic that has people, you know, giving folks on death row Tylenols because they got colds.
Right.
You know, cure the cold, but we're going to execute you anyway. I mean, it's almost as though they don't want people to have their own that level of control over their own lives.
Do they think there's going to be like a rush, like, you know, like there was with gay marriages? It's like, I didn't know you could kill yourself in Oregon. Let's go. There are lines outside of the hospitals. I mean, come on.
How long did Kevorkian get, by the way?
I have no idea what the history of Kevorkian is, but I always thought, you know, he was a pretty fascinating character because there's really, you know, outside of, you know, religious principles, you know, what he's saying, you know, makes a lot of sense, and there really shouldn't be any moral argument to somebody making that choice for themselves.
It seems to make sense given that this country has the right to happiness, which pretty much nobody else has. I mean, it is a logical extension of that.
Well, it's the pursuit.
But my experience with this was...
Well, that's a pursuing thing, isn't it?
Well, that's why even the guys who wrote the Declaration of Independence knew it was a long shot.
Yeah. You know,
well, the pursuit of happiness. But the thing about it, it's a very weird thing because the living are the ones that make decisions for people that should be able to make decisions for themselves. Even in the situation of a living will, my grandmother had a situation where she was, you know, she went into a coma. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a heart attack and there was internal bleeding. She went into a coma. And she had asked my mother and my mother's sister, look, if that happens, you know, pull the plug on me. I don't want to be laying around in that condition. And my mother and my aunt had an argument about whether or not they were going to pull the plug. And my aunt was like, look, she wanted us to pull the plug. And my mother was like, yeah, but I kind of like knowing she's down there.
But that's what happens. I've had two friends I know in Britain who have done this with relatives, one with a mother and one with a dying aunt. And they went to Amsterdam because there is a sort of euthanasia, which is I'm not sure if it's even technically legal, but it's not prosecuted. So it's kind of a fudgy, sort of gray area. And it just took months, even though the people who were terminally ill wanted to do it.
Right.
It was convincing the rest of the family, getting them to kind of make peace with it.
Right.
And then once they finally did, I mean, the last person I know who did it a few months ago, they turned it into this kind of big joke. They had a party. They all said goodbye. They took these cheap flights over to Amsterdam on these, you know, little airlines, and they had it took place on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they had this joke that when people get really depressed, they say it's so Monday in Amsterdam.
Oh my God!
That was a good attitude.
I think they should make it fun. If you're planning on killing yourself, they should offer packages. Like, you know, insurance companies should, you know, offer like the best deal for the final flight out. You know, you get dinner and a movie. It's like Soylent Green. You know, when Edward G. Robinson, you know, when he's like laying there and he's like, oh my God, it's beautiful. You know, you could pick whatever movie you want. You could have your good last meal. And
I just don't want anybody helping me along unless I know about it ahead of time.
Oh, well, we will, Mark.
No one's going to poison your cup.
Coming up, the presidential palm pilot does Bin Laden love Democrats, plus the all-important liberal agenda from the Streisand compound when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Political opponents call the late Senator Paul Wellstone and his progressive ideals embarrassingly liberal. According to Wellstone, the future will not belong to those who are cynical. The future will belong to those who have passion and are willing to work hard to make our country better. Embarrassing? No way. Inspiring? Yes. Learn how to live out Wellstone's call to action in his book, The Conscience of a Liberal, Reclaiming the Compassionate Agenda. And don't miss the remarkable collection of Wellstone photographs featured in Terry Guidison's book, 12 Years and 13 Days, Remembering Paul and Sheila Wellstone. You can find these University of Minnesota Press publications at better bookstores everywhere, or visit our website at www.upress.umn.edu. Fight for the future of America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former Vice President Al Gore took aim and fired at his former political rival, George W. Bush, and members of his cabinet in a stinging New York University appearance yesterday. Gore called for the resignations of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, and CIA Chief George Tenet. He said each day Rumsfeld is at the helm of the Defense Department, America remains at risk. U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller told a news conference yesterday that terrorists are definitely threatening the U.S., but both declined to be specific. They did say Americans should be on guard for possible attacks over the summer and fall. 21 years of civil war in Sudan have finally formally ended with the signing of a peace agreement yesterday. Some 2 million people have died in the African nation in a conflict that received little in the way of great media attention in the West. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
The Majority Report.
Danny, you're going to quickly realize that you're going to have to come around to our way of thinking. You're not allowed to leave the studio.
Exactly.
All right.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Admit it. You love John Evans. I don't know why.
He indeed does have the capacity to shoot straight.
He also has a last name, which is the same as the first name. You know, Edward John. I like last names to be last names. Garofalo, that's a last name.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
We're back. It's 33 past the hour. Thursday morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We've got the my guy over there in the Oval Office who, cleans the toilets and stuff at the White House is hacked into the presidential Palm Pilot again this morning, as he always does with the president's schedule. So here it is for May 27th, Thursday, 8 a.m. Wake up. Where's our music?
There it is.
There it is. 8 a.m. Wake up. Try again to vote for Fantasia on American Idol. Damn busy signal. 8:10 a.m. Secret Service informs you that voting is over. 8:11 a.m. Sulk. 9:30 a.m., meet with President of El Salvador. Ask if he knows Ramon, you know, the guy with the stuff from back in the day. 1:55 p.m., participate in conversation on healthcare information technology. Nashville, Tennessee, unveil state-of-the-art healthcare denial system. 3 p.m., TP trees outside Dixie Chick's house. That's toilet paper, the trees, too.
I don't know if you... I was getting in my trunks later.
that's American fun. 4:30 p.m., meet in Nashville Public Park with Ramon, who has the stuff from back in the day. 4:32 p.m., order bombing of Syria. 4:34 p.m., order bombing of Iran. 4:36 p.m., order bombing of Cuba. 4:38 p.m., order bombing of San Francisco. 4:40 p.m., cancel all bombings. Note, don't visit Ramon anymore. 5:35 p.m., attend Victory 2004 reception, private residence, Nashville. Watch Hee Haw Marathon with George Jones and Merle Haggard. Laugh and laugh and laugh. Thanks, Ramon. 8 p.m., try to wind down. Can't. Call Toby Keith and go out for some line dancing. 4 a.m. Get home. Have Ramon arrested. That's a pretty heart-pounding day for the press.
Intense.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, he missed his early night. It was a disaster.
He's going to be up all night with that. Oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Please, don't let me die. Don't. I'm not going to do this again.
I'll never do it again.
I'll never do it again. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah. So you got those, huh?
Oh, sure. And then you wake up like, hey, I saved a little. All right, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, you know, John Ashcroft. We're back on him again. Jeez, we
oh, wait, hold on. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Come on. It's right. I blew it.
Oh, man.
Wait, I just like.
All right, yeah.
Oh, wait. Say John Ashcroft again.
John Ashcroft.
I'll get the hang of this thing.
All right, well, here's what he had to say. Not that people really want to hear that much of what he has to say. But he said, and this was, this is a direct quote, the Madrid railway bombings were perceived by Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda to have advanced their cause. Al-Qaeda may perceive that a large-scale attack in the United States this summer or fall would lead to similar consequences. So Ashcroft has gotten inside the head of Osama bin Laden. He now knows what Osama bin Laden is thinking and what Osama bin Laden plans to do.
And apparently one of those things he's thinking is Kerry would be a fine president.
Yeah.
What is that? Like, I mean, look at deconstruct that thing. Let's pick this apart. Al-Qaeda may perceive that a large-scale attack in the United States this summer or fall would lead to similar consequences. Is he saying that, you know, that if Bush is voted in, that we are all terrorists, or if Kerry is voted in, that we are a nation of terrorist sympathizers? Is that what he's trying to say?
I think what he's trying to say is that maybe Osama bin Laden will try and influence the result of the election by starting some terrorist act. But, of course, on the other side, we played a spot a little bit earlier where Ashcroft said there's been no terror activities in the last 32 months. This is called setting up a win-win situation.
Yeah, if they do hit and they can win because everyone's petrified with fear. If they don't hit and they catch some guys, they could win because everyone's like, see, it is working.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is about Spain and the Madrid attacks is that that was not essentially what changed the election, is it?
No. I mean, the reason that Prime Minister José María Aznar was voted out is because the majority of people in Spain were opposed to the war against Iraq, and yet Aznar went in and committed Spanish troops, and he basically it was payback time at the elections.
Right, so the Spanish population was pissed off that
hugely anti-war.
Yeah, and also the fact that, you know, after the terrorist attacks, they immediately blamed Basque, you know, the suspected
Basque
separatists,
even though, as it turns out, they had evidence that they should have, you know, immediately realized that it was these al-Qaeda suspects that they knew about.
Right, and they backpedaled. And then the following day, after the terrorist attacks, more than 1 million people turned out in the middle of Madrid to march to show their opposition to the terrorists, well, to show basically a united front, that they were not frightened to go out there and kind of lead their lives. They weren't going to be manipulated by a government, as the United States government has tried to do to people in America, to, you know, being terrified about the next possible terrorist attack.
They were going to take their government to task for lying and misleading them.
Absolutely. They were defiant and they were angry and they wanted their government called to account.
Wow, that sounds like the way democracy is supposed to work, kind of, doesn't it, America? I think so. Am I being condescending? The implication that, you know, Ashcroft making is that he thinks that, you know, that Osama bin Laden would be more comfortable with it, with the President Kerry. It's so insidious and twisting, and, you know, Ashcroft is going to burn in hell.
But this isn't new. I mean, remember that Karen Hughes used the same strain of logic to compare
abortion.
Terrorists to people who were pro-choice, you know, people who were rallying for pro-choice.
Well, how did she phrase that one? That was a good one. Let's pick that up on the break. That was a great twist
that
of Republican logic.
That was about how the people were Americans valued life more after in the wake of the terrorist attacks. So in other words, they would be more anti-abortion because of, you know, valuing life. That's how she connected it.
How can they spin stuff like that and make assumptions that they can play with people's minds like that?
Desperate.
Well, they're desperate, and they believe in repetition. But, you know, John Kerry and you know, people have been on his case about not responding. Well, he's responding, and we got to give him some credit for that. He is beginning an 11-day focus on Homeland Security and issues like that, and he doesn't thing. The Bush administration is doing anywhere near enough to keep America safe.
We deserve a president of the United States who doesn't make Homeland Security a photo opportunity and the rhetoric of the campaign. We deserve a president who makes America safer.
And meanwhile, Al Gore, you remember him.
Yeah.
The former vice president.
Yeah.
Guy who won the 2000 election, but then...
The president, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he was like this 4 years ago, we'd be in the last year of a Gore administration about now, I would think.
Yeah, he was kicking it up.
Yeah, he was speaking at NYU. He was speaking in front of nearly 1,000 members of MoveOn.org. You know them.
I'm a member. Yeah, yeah. I get their emails.
The real left wing. They kind of like treating them like they treated the Weather Underground in the 60s. Like, yeah. These people are, you know, they're dangerous seditionists.
Well, it's fascinating how activism works now. All you got to do is click your mouse, and you're part of a big revolutionary process.
There you go. Well, Al Gore wants heads to roll for the mess that this country finds itself in Iraq.
We simply cannot afford to further increase the risk to our country with more blunders by this team. Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign immediately as the chief architect of this plan. Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, the intelligence chief, Stephen Cambone, all ought to resign immediately. Our nation is at risk every single day. Rumsfeld remains as Secretary of Defense.
Wow. You know what? He's been taking Jesse lessons.
4 years too late, but very passionate.
Yeah, he sounds kind of quite ministerial, doesn't he? So like he's tapped into the kind of Southern Baptist preaching
fervor.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was great to see him all worked up. It was sort of like, you know, what everyone was waiting for 4 years ago in terms of the passion needed to really create a landslide victory. But it was really great to hear him, and I think I'm glad that somebody's saying those things in public.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are going to happen. Although they may feed, I still think they're going to feed Cambone to the wolves sooner or later.
Yeah, and then there's that whole issue of Rumsfeld. If Rumsfeld goes, then we got to deal with Wolfowitz. You know, I mean, it's kind of like choosing between two Satans. We've got the liberal agenda up ahead, and we want to know whether you think Democrats can take back the defense issue from the Republicans. Call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We'll put you on the line right here on Air America.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
We're back. We're taking your calls here on Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Call us 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Do you think that Kerry can take the defense, a strong defense stance, you know, take it away from the Republicans? And what would you like to hear Kerry say in his speech tonight? Or, as I'm seeing on the screen here, terror alert. David, Long Island, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, I think Kerry needs to point out the fact that the minute that they put these terror posters up and said that these guys are out there is the minute that the entire news media took their eye off the ball in Iraq. It was unbelievable last night. I mean, it's such a smokescreen.
Right, right. That's a good angle. I think you're probably right. Thanks a lot for your call. What's that, David?
They know that these people are out there, and I guarantee you, within the next couple of weeks, they're going to trot out one of these suspects that they've been watching all along, because it will show Bush as the big hero. Look what we can do at home.
Right, that's a big question. Yeah. Oh, so you think the whole thing's a setup? Thanks for calling. The number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. See, I'm a paranoid dude, and I think that you know, and I'd even really go that far to think that, like, not only do they know who they are, clearly they knew that. Mm-hmm. But, see, like, I thought, well, then why don't they just catch him? And that could very well be what they're preparing to do. The whole thing is some big charade that is meant to distract people. I've got to brush up on my conspiracy thinking. I've got to, you know, be more
He's
thorough.
Going soft.
Time to go to Edmund. Edmund is calling us from Queens.
That's correct. You know, what really annoyed me, though, most of all, is that these people that get on TV and try to scare the American public into believing that these terrorists out there are coming. Remember years ago, it used to be the Russians are coming, and now the same is happening with terrorism, you know, and it's a real shame. And the reason why people buy into this is because most people don't think. They watch a lot of nonsense on TV. They watch coming this on TV. It's a real shame, really, that this is what happens today in the country.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Thanks for calling, Edmund. You know, we've been saying that for a week or two about, you know, how that they've consolidated this enemy with the Iraq War into a real front, so to speak, yeah. And it's sort of replaced the idea of the Cold War, but it's non-territorial. Terror is a method. It's not, you know, a country. It's not specific to any race of people necessarily. It happens to be specific to the Muslims right now. Yeah. But they've set up an eternal war situation in order to maintain control over those of us who don't.
And, you know, the first caller, David, I think, from Long Island, made a very, very important point about how the media immediately stopped reporting about Iraq to deal with this whole terror threat thing.
So that is a great example of the Republican administration politicizing you know, terror in order to meet its own ends.
Yeah, or just knowing how the media wants something new. They want a new story. Yeah. Or else it's Fantasio is coming.
Oh, Lord.
Rocco, upstate, what's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. People?
How you doing?
Fine. Man, I saw Al Gore on C-SPAN last night. What an awesome dude.
Got a buzz, right? Got a rush, right?
Oh, I could hardly sleep.
Lifting the spirit. Thanks.
You got me going, let me tell you.
Good, man. Thanks for calling, sharing the enthusiasm. I appreciate it. Bob in Brooklyn, what's going on, man?
Hi. Hey. I think the Democrats would be well advised to adhere to a more middle-of-the-road strategy as exemplified by General Anthony Zini.
Yeah,
and Tom Clancy, who appeared on Charlie Rose Tuesday night. I don't know if you saw that.
I've seen Zini before.
Well, they came out with a new book called Battle Ready, in which on Charlie Rose they criticized Bush for going into Iraq and not continuing to be more aggressive against Osama in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yeah. No, I think they clearly let some of these guys go in order to serve their own ends in the Iraq situation.
General Zini was amazing on 60 Minutes last weekend. I mean, he was really convincing. He was really articulate. He was going to really kind of anti the administration. And coming from a guy who was that high up in the military, that's powerful stuff.
It's good to hear it. Greg, what's up, buddy? Greg?
Earlier you were saying what happens to all the money from Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning at 3 a.m. on network news, you know, you see at 3 o'clock in the morning, you see different stuff than you do during the day.
Mm. You see the secret news, the late night news.
Yeah, whatever it is. But they had a story that the oil companies, Citgo and Chevron, people like that that were contributors to the Bush campaign, have gotten billions of dollars to secure their oil refineries that they could have paid for themselves. And these little towns all over the country can't get anything. They went to the oil companies to ask for a comment. They all refused to comment. They went to the head of Homeland Security and said, oh, well, that's just federal policy. So all these oil companies are getting all this money, and these little towns all over the country can't get squat.
And some of the nuclear facilities aren't being protected. That's an interesting story. We're going to have to research that to double-check those facts. But thanks for sharing that with us, Greg. Appreciate it.
And I think Kerry has said that's one of the things with the areas that he would like to kind of beef up security, protect those sites.
Right. We got to play Gore again, but I guess we'll do it after the break. Thank you for being with us. Please stay with us here on Air America Radio.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Here we go. We're going. Morning's Edition. Mark Maron here. Mark Riley is here by my side, as is Sue Ellicott.
Yeah.
It is Thursday morning. You know, that guy really, that caller really changed my mind about certain things, because I was already, you know, paranoid. I mean, not paranoid. I mean, there's a difference between being paranoid and being intuitive in terms of, sort of devious political speculation. And, you know, my first question when I saw that poster of all those terrorists was, you know, well, if they got that much information on him, why don't they catch him? And he's suggesting that not only is it a smokescreen, but it may be just part of a big charade, a big plan that they are setting the stage now in order to catch one of them because they know exactly where they are. I mean, the one guy's an American convert from Southern California. I mean, how hard could it be to find that guy? He's probably, you know, working at a record store or a CD shop or maybe a computer game place. I don't know. You know, it just seems that I think this guy might be right, and I think we're going to have to give him his props there if they turn this one of these guys up by the end of the weekend, or as Sue would say, weekend.
You're right. I think that showing photographs makes people more frightened because they have this idea. I mean, rather than just saying there are people out there, you know, be vigilant, folks, everybody help us out here. Once you show photographs and you give something specific, you then make the terror concrete, not just abstract. It's all about making people more frightened.
Yeah, let's kick some Al Gore.
Yeah.
Simply cannot afford to further increase the risk to our country with more blunders by this team. Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign immediately as the chief architect of this plan. Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, the intelligence chief Stephen Cambone, all ought to resign immediately. Our nation is at risk every single day. Rumsfeld remains as Secretary of Defense.
Now, I got a question for you, Mark Maron.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that Kerry suffers by comparison to Al Gore going off like that?
No. I think that everybody's coming together. I think the Democrats are coming together. I think they're only going to help each other. I feel a certain bellowing tone in Kerry's recent statements. I feel there's some momentum. I feel there's some drive. I think it's all going to congeal into a book tour for Bill Clinton.
There you go.
You know, no, I think they're starting to. I think that any of them, like when Howard Dean toured with Kerry recently, when Al Gore does this, I think this is all going to build to a nice head, and I think that Kerry's going to keep pace with it. That's what I feel.
Because there are people who question whether or not he should keep this kind of cautious path. But we're going to see. I'm really anticipating the speech this evening.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope they put it on the television.
Yes.
There's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your notebooks and pens. Here we go. Here are your marching orders. One, denounce American Idol for being talentist. Two, vandalize Humvee dealerships with water-based acrylic paints. Make a statement, not an irreparable mess. Three, add unflattering picture of Bush twins to FBI Al-Qaeda poster. Four, call local schools, insist they replace social studies with MTV's new gay network. And five, call Al Gore, tell him how totally hot he looks when he's angry.
Oh, wow.
That's a good one. That's a good liberal agenda. Yeah. I think people know what they need to do now.
Well, you know, Babs did a big thing for him. Back when he was running for president.
Really? That sounds very suggestive.
No, I mean, it was the hottest ticket at the convention was a Streisand benefit concert that they did.
Oh, good. Then clarify that.
Benefit concert.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want Brolin in my face, that's for sure. In the next hour of morning's edition, the Presidential Daily Briefing, Recovery Corner Plus, a conversation on the language of politics. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy. Again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York.
the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former Vice President Al Gore took aim and blasted the Bush administration yesterday in a stinging appearance at New York University. He assailed his political opponent in the 2000 presidential contest, sounding very much like a candidate himself. Gore did not mince his words when he called for the resignations of key Bush cabinet members, particularly National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Gore said each day that Rumsfeld remains at the head of the Defense Department, America will be at risk. Gore charged that President Bush has exposed Americans abroad and Americans at home to a greater danger of attacks by terrorists.
He promised to restore honor and integrity to the White House. Instead, he has brought deep dishonor to our country and built a durable reputation as the most dishonest president since Richard M. Nixon.
Former Vice President Al Gore, as he addressed a gathering at New York University yesterday. The nation's top cop, U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, was joined by FBI Director Robert Mueller in a news conference to again detail that America is under threat of terrorist activities, even though no definitive date or place has been mentioned. Both confirmed that there's been an increase in American intelligence about plans for major attacks. This summer, they said they've received information from multiple sources. Ashcroft noted that following the March 11th train bombings in Madrid, Spain, and Al-Qaeda spokesman said the terrorist organization's plans for an attack on America were 90% complete. Despite this, there are no immediate plans to increase the U.S. terror alert. Bush administration has taken heavy criticism for not being more open about the information they've received. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says President Bush has done nothing to thwart the potential terrorist attack here in the States. Kerry made the charge on a campaign stump in Seattle, Washington. Yesterday, Kerry made the claim while his supporters suggested that the administration's latest terrorist warnings might be politically motivated. Kerry, speaking in Seattle, said the country deserves a president who does not make Homeland Security a photo opportunity and the rhetoric of a campaign. New York Times reports this morning that questioning hundreds of Iraqi prisoners has done nothing to provide valuable intelligence on the movement of insurgent elements in Iraq. The U.S. military erected an interrogation center for the sole purpose of extracting information about the insurgents from the prison population. Both military and civilian officials have conceded that the mission has been a failure, yielding very little in the way of information. The interrogation center was housed in the special cell block of the infamous Abu Ghraib prison. Reports say that many of those questions were not linked to the anti-American movement in Iraq. And 21 years of war in Sudan have come to a formal end on paper after the principals involved in the conflict yesterday signed a peace agreement. Some 2 million people have lost their lives in the African state. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
This cow is trying to say new Coffee Mate half and half. Sadly, cows can't make the n sound. Only the mmm sound, as in moo Coffee Mate half and half. That's right. And since cows can't say in creamy delicious flavors like hazelnut and vanilla, I'll be enhancing this cow's dialogue. You tell them. Just like Moo Nestle Coffee Mate half and half enhances your coffee, as only coffee's perfect mate can. Look for the easy pour package in the refrigerator section. Now you're just being a hog.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back,
That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
Randy Rhodes.
Conservatives won't allow gays to marry because they'll cite studies that show that children of gay parents rarely grow up to be very strapping heterosexual men and women who one day put underwear on the heads of prisoners and throw naked bodies on the foreigners into piles and torture people with sexual humiliation. That very rarely happens when you come from a sensitive home.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. You're not the only one who thinks George W. needs a stiff drink, so we're taking him to Recovery Corner. Plus, what do you hear? The president's new campaign ad that's coming up. And also, we're going to talk to a smart guy, George Lakoff, who's going to talk to us about the language of politics and the difference between the liberal mind and the conservative mind. Sounds pretty heavy, right? Practical stuff.
They
right
have
now?
Minds? Huh? They have minds?
Well, they have something that seems, you know, it's narrow and it's focused.
Okay.
But it can be defined as a mind. I have Sue Ellicott here. Mark Riley are here.
Hey.
Witnessing the progress towards my second nervous breakdown.
Good morning, breakdown.
You're leaving town tomorrow. We're talking about second nervous breakdown. You're going out to L.A. You're going to see your wife. Your wife just aced something you were talking about before.
My wife, who is a comic, went on stage and killed for her Montreal Comedy Festival audition. I hope that she gets it. She's a very funny woman, very beautiful woman. I can't wait to see her. It's been 3 weeks. I'm about to lose my mind. Am I? It's weird when you're away from the person you love or the person you're with for a long enough time. Doesn't part of you start to go like, wow, who am I? I'm not, I'm missing a whole half of me here.
My loins ache for you.
Well, there's that, you know. I'm
trying to leave you guys in peace. I hate to interrupt anything.
But don't you get that as a woman? Dare I say girl?
No.
I got into it.
I don't have problems with the girl thing.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's just funny. There
the
was a
G word.
Yeah. It's weird. Some women have a very real problem with it.
Really?
They find it infantilizing and a tool of the phallocracy.
Really? Uh-oh. Sometimes I think it's okay to feel like a girl. And sometimes you want to feel like a woman. I mean, you know, I'm not giving up on feeling young.
Keep talking.
It's good.
I like the girl-woman thing. I was going somewhere.
It's kind of, you know, yeah. Why limit yourself?
Who was kayaking, the girl or the woman?
I think it was the girl.
Aww.
Yeah.
But
she was so unhappy. She'd been crying. And you know what? It does. There is something very freeing about kind of indulging in your silly side.
Sue went kayaking last night on the, I'm assuming, the East River, the Hudson River, or somewhere.
Hudson River. It has a quite a strong current. When you get up near that wall right by where the traffic goes, you kind of think, I don't know what the turn ratio is on a sea kayak, but I'm paddling like mad with my left side of the paddle. No, girl, woman.
You were crying?
No, about my scooter, about my broken scooter.
Oh, I thought we were going to get into some deep stuff here.
No.
Like, I hung around the office after work, and I really thought about what would be the right thing to do with my day, because you do want to have a day,
yeah.
You know, given that we're done here at, say, 9 or 10.
Before the bars open.
And I got everything together, and I just went home and napped. And that's what I did. I napped, and I ate, and I answered email. God, this is boring.
On the girl thing, don't men get in touch with their inner boy? I mean,
are you kidding? I'm a child. I am a giant baby. I should be standing here wearing a diaper. That's how much of a baby I am. I'm a big, selfish, adolescent, smart-ass baby, and I've always been that way. So I guess what I'm saying is this is a cry for help. This entire show is a cry for help.
See,
please.
I have this theory that, you know, by the time you get up into your kind of 30s or beyond, is that at some point you just go back, you revert back to kind of who you really were inside when you were a teenager.
I never left.
There's
no reversion necessary. Yeah, at some point emotionally I stopped growing, and I'm thinking maybe 12, 13. That's not true. I've learned some things.
But you try all this stuff out.
First of all, black people don't like to be called boys. So, you know, there's a whole there's
that's
a, whole
a different,
thing.
Yeah, different
it's a
language
whole different
problem.
Language thing. We can maybe talk to George Lakoff about that.
How about little man?
No, little man doesn't work either.
How
big,
about
funny big guy works? I think.
Yeah.
Big oh, man.
No, big guy doesn't work either.
I don't want to go off on this too long, I guess, but I feel like I've matured quite a bit. You know, in
the
last
couple of minutes since you said that you were only 12.
Exactly. That's it. That, you know, I'm rethinking what I just said. And the last few minutes have been a very powerful time for me, a rites of passage in my brain.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I feel my age. I feel a lot better than I usually do because I'm not compulsively checking the emails as we talk here. So I have a certain amount of self-esteem intact. I feel strong.
Self-esteem. What? You know.
When did we start talking about self-esteem?
Nah,
when did that become part of the
language? Self-esteem is overrated. I really do.
Believe me, I've never really had it in a real way. So I think you're right. It is overrated. I'm much more for the self-loathing sort of. Like I've always felt that self-loathing and bitterness propels greatness. I've always felt that. That if you feel good about yourself and you do things because you enjoy them, then what you're going to produce is mediocre kind of fodder. But if you're sitting there going, man, I hate me and I'm going to make something happen, then you could lead a country. You could make a world.
Stuff that comes straight from the stomach acid. Right?
Yeah, so
straight from the stomach
the,
acid
the
and
self,
bad parenting.
The thing about the self-loathing thing is there's kind of a lot of fallout for everybody all around the edges.
You know
maybe
what?
Okay for you.
You know
maybe
what?
Okay for George W.
Go to hell, Sue. That's all I got to say. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
You and your big ideas, Lassie.
Girly. Lassie. Okay.
I thought I was making it English.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't a dog thing. It was lass.
Wench.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
No. I feel nothing but love today for all of you. The email address is sedition. At airamericaradio.com.
Nothing but love.
I've got to get
how
off.
How come I can't quite confuse that with Diana Ross talking about love all the time? That was her thing, you know, for the longest.
And now she's talking about rehab,
yeah,
I think. I don't mean to be mean to Diana. Everybody needs to relax and take a break sometimes. Paralyzed with fear. Is that what we're supposed to be, Riley?
I don't know. If you talk to the nation's law enforcement bosses, yeah, I think so. They're ratcheting up the war on terror, but not everybody's buying the ratchet. Mm-hmm. Attorney General John Ashcroft, FBI Director Robert Mueller, and Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge were the three latest guys who were on Bush's revolving sushi cart. You know, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, the rest of them are in the back. We haven't heard anything from them for the last
week. They just pull
so.
Ridge out occasionally because he's on the payroll.
Yeah.
He's certainly not a charismatic guy and doesn't seem to be in charge of much.
Yeah, could you do something for the money we're paying you? Could you maybe come out? Get on the Today Show with Katie Couric. Explain what, you know, what's going on.
The interesting thing that caller said was that all that Homeland Security money went immediately into defending oil refineries in this country and not into defending nuclear power plants or just regular old people shopping malls.
I thought we ran out of oil. Didn't we close down all the oil refineries?
But that's it. That's the rig. There's two companies that have the small amount of oil refineries that are making it hard to get the gas prices down, but making it perfectly easy for those companies to make a lot of money.
Well, our law enforcement troika went public Wednesday with reports that Al-Qaeda is planning an attack inside the U.S. in the next few months.
Got pictures, resumes, high school diplomas. We've got everything on these guys.
Well, where and when, they don't really know, but they do want to locate seven people they say have terrorist leanings. For that, they need the help of the public, even though each person is described as armed and dangerous. And for their part, Ashcroft and Mueller are setting up a task force to coordinate efforts to thwart the attack. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Hey, you know, terrorist leanings, you know, if John Ashcroft, you know, had
not
his...
Not at the task force.
I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it's amazing. They say they're setting up this task force. They don't really say who's going to be involved. Is it FBI people? Is it going to be people from the Justice Department? Are you involving people from the CIA? Are you doing this on your own? There's a lot of questions that flow from the formation of a task force.
They don't like to admit anybody who's involved until afterwards, until they get caught doing something. And they have to.
You
know what I mean? It's like, you know, who's involved? I don't know. We're not going to tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then if there's a problem, oh, it was that guy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
hard to imagine how it will work, because every time they try to do anything coordinating between the agencies, FBI, CIA, and the multiple layers, it's been a disaster.
Yep, it's been absolute
mess. The 9/11 commission hearings show that they couldn't basically share information or work together with one another. So what's the evidence that they can do it now? None.
How hard can it be to organize with all the technology we have and all the means of communication, all the different systems by which people can communicate? How can it be so difficult to organize the information necessary to get all the intelligence agencies on the same page? I mean, what, they don't got a good internet guy in the administration?
Turf. It's all
that's it.
About
it's a competitive
turf.
Thing.
It's
that's
competitive.
Our lead. That's our witness. That's our, you know, that's our crime scene. That's our bit mm-hmm. of business.
And, you know, the other problem is that in many cases, people that are involved in law enforcement on the state and municipal levels across this country get no information whatsoever from the federal agencies, not from justice, not from the FBI, not from any of these task forces, certainly not from the CIA.
And that's a way for the feds to watch their ass in a way, I imagine, that, you know, when the feds don't show up until they're going to take over the situation, usually,
yeah.
isn't that true?
I'm in charge here.
Right. Yeah. And that's always what happens in the movies. Like, who are those guys? FBI.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that whatever they've done, you know, since 9/11 to make different states safer. I was reading this week, actually, in the New Yorker about how they gave state allocated money to the states to make cities safer,
mm-hmm.
and it was all sorted out in this ridiculous way according to size of population, and New York's ended up with something like.
$1.35.
Yeah, like no, it's yeah. like $5 per person, and then you know, kind of a rural state where there's gonna
Montana.
Yeah, so like yeah. 3,000 or something.
Yeah.
So they've bought these, you know, huge pieces of equipment that are they don't really need.
They actually didn't they have some kind of and I don't want to misspeak, but didn't they have some kind of a terrorist institute or some counterterrorist institute that they put at Texas A&M? Instead
I don't
of
know,
doing anything here in New York. Or
at DeVries? DeVries?
DeVries. The Tone Institute.
Still ahead, how the right wing wins by twisting the language. We'll tell you how to decode it. Up next, Dream Diary, right here on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
If you eBay or are thinking about using eBay or just want to make lots of cash buying and selling on eBay, then grab a pen to write down an important toll-free number. Last year, entrepreneur Adam Ginsberg did over $15 million in business on eBay. He wants to send you a free tape that explains how to make fast cash on eBay. He has engineered cash-generating techniques to sell products you would never think of and massively increase the value of items without spending much money. Using his program, you could develop a steady income by building your own eBay business. If you choose, you'll never have to work in an office again. Instead, you could sit back and turn eBay into your own private cash machine. You owe it to yourself to evaluate Adam's money-making opportunity absolutely free. Call right now, 800-900-3118 to get his free tape. That's 800-900-3118. Don't miss this limited-time offer to secure your financial freedom. Call 800-900-3118.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced
professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GemHR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GemHR.com. At GemHR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Twenty past the hour. Good morning. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program.
Good morning.
Got an email here. Love the show. Could actually hear Mark maturing.
Is that stretching sound?
That's what she said. There was some stretching or something, maybe a little tearing. What's growth without a little discomfort? That's what I say. Yeah. Here we go. Today we've got the, as always, the Dream Diary, some people's favorite segment. This is a transcript of my dream from last night that I will bring to my therapist today. Here we go. I'm a telemarketer. I work in a tiny cubicle covered with unicorn posters. I'll call anyone, anywhere, anytime. Hello, can I speak to the head of the household? Are you happy with your long-distance provider? Oh, you're eating dinner? Perfect. Can I have some dinner? Can I come over for dinner? Me so hungry. I want dinner. I call 867-5309. It's Jenny. I got her number off the wall. I call Debbie Harry. She said, call me. I got her machine. I call Sidney Poitier. He said, call me Mr. Tibbs. People hang up. People get angry. One guy says, here's a dime. Call someone who cares. So I call George Bush. He cares. I say, are you happy with your long-distance provider? I say, are you happy with your phony Iraqi non-exit strategy, Mr. Big Shot? I say, are you happy living a life steeped in lies, deceit, and greed? I say, are you happy, happy, happy little man? And he is. He really is. Big problem. So I call Jesus. Jesus, are you happy with your long-distance provider? Are you happy that Bush is happy? What about me? Are you happy with me, Jesus? And Jesus says, yes, I'm happy with my long-distance provider. I'm happy that Bush is happy, and I'm happy with you, Mark. Remember to breathe. You're in a dream, Jesus says. This will pass. So I call myself. Turns out I'm not happy with my long-distance provider. Not at all. To hell with Verizon. Could I please recommend a plan that's right for me? I woke up and my bed was covered with freshly washed towels. I don't know what that one was about. I can't explain these things. So come on back into the room if you didn't want to hear my dream.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Kerry. There's a Bush ad about Kerry.
More lies.
Just can't. Well, they're just, you know, it's the same stuff. They're attacking a senator who's had a long career in the Senate for evolving opinions on policy.
No.
Can we hear the sound on that?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
President Bush signed the Patriot Act, giving law enforcement vital tools to fight terrorism. John Kerry, he voted for the Patriot Act, but pressured by fellow liberals, he's changed his position. While wiretaps, subpoena powers, and surveillances are routinely used against drug dealers and organized crime, Kerry would now repeal the Patriot Act's use of these tools against terrorists. John Kerry, playing politics with national security.
What is that? What is that? Kerry called for, quote, replacing the Patriot Act with a new law. He's not calling for repealing the powers. He's calling for modification.
But you know what? It's just all this thing about, you know, we're not going to go negative and that is so negative.
Specifically, tighter control by judges is what he's calling. He wants to modify it, you know, by, here's some of the modifications that Kerry outlines on his website, johnkerry.com. Strengthen terrorism laws at work, including sharing information with local law enforcement. Stop unreasonable sneak and peek searches and ensure that there are reasonable safeguards on the use of roving wiretaps and the seizing of library and business records. Assuring that terrorism laws are used to combat terrorism, not in ordinary criminal cases. That's the big fear. That's the very important thing about the Patriot Act, and that's one of the big reasons that people are afraid for their civil liberties. You know, such as sentences, you can't just use it for anything. Is what he's saying.
Right.
And this is a guy, you know, they always accuse this guy of flip-flopping, of doing this, and these attacks aren't really sticking because his approval ratings are at least staying the same. But, you know, when you are in the Senate and you are, you know, making, you know, votes on policy and these things evolve as things go on, you know, you change your mind because it may not be the same thing that you were voting for initially.
You know, and they don't tell the American people that. They just say, like, he's confused. He's not confused. It's part of the job.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking with George Rakoff soon, and we're going to be talking about the use of language. And what you hear in that ad, what jumps out, is this thing about Kerry changing his position after being, quote, pressured by liberals. And what that is meant to convey is that there's all these left-wing guys like me and you, Marin.
Who?
That are convincing.
He didn't talk to me.
I know. He didn't talk to me either. But that's who they think, that's who they want people to think is influencing John Kerry. Where, on the other hand.
They're conservatives, too.
That's right. Bob Barr, certainly no friend of mine, is opposed to at least some of the provisions of the Patriot Act. Eagle Forum President Phyllis Schlafly, Free Congress Foundation President Paul Weyrich, and former Governor of Virginia James Gilmore. Liberals, none. But they all oppose provisions of the Patriot Act, just like John Kerry.
But the idea that you mentioned about language, saying that he's pressured by anybody, this is just trying to make him look as though he doesn't know his own mind. In other words, George Bush will stand firm and that he has leadership skills and that Kerry needs to take his cue from other people, which, you know, is clearly not true.
You mean George Bush, the flip-flopper in chief? George Bush, who opposed the Department of Homeland Security in March 19, 2002, and June 6, 2002, Bush supports the Department of Homeland Security. The biggest, he made government so much bigger than it's ever been, which is so anti-conservative. But, you know, listen to me. He flip-flopped on weapons of mass destruction May 29, 2003. Bush says, we found the weapons of mass destruction. February 7, 2004, Bush says, we haven't found weapons of mass destruction, and now we know that there aren't any. On Osama bin Laden, September 17, 2001, Bush wants Osama dead or alive. March 13, 2002, Bush no longer cares about Osama bin Laden. He says, I don't know where he is, I have no idea, and I really don't care. It's not that important.
No biggie.
Man, and this goes on and on, too. You want some more?
Keep going.
All right, the environment. September 29, 2000, Bush supports mandatory caps on carbon dioxide. March 13, 2003, Bush opposes mandatory caps on carbon dioxide.
Right, but on the flip-flopping, the stuff that really counts, the stuff that will get people out to vote against him, there is, you know, a report out today in today's Washington Post that we were kind of talking about during the break, that, you know, Bush will say he's saying kind of one thing on the campaign trail, but yet there is evidence that he is going to cut a lot of domestic programs if he gets reelected. And these are things that really affect people's lives. If this is the guy who really cares about the little people, how come he is planning to cut a nutrition program for women and children? He will make cuts in Head Start. He will make cuts in job training. This is the guy who's made part of his reelection program the fact that he was going to create more than 2 million jobs. He's also going to cut medical research and science programs. These are all things. There are so many agencies that are all in charge of domestic programs, basically on education, homeland security, and other things that he's backing in the campaign year. It's basically, I'll say one thing, but I'm really going to do another.
We need that money for the war.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This is all war money he's
shifting
around.
It's going to funnel that money into killing people.
What does he think we taxpayers are? A bottomless pit?
But that's right. It doesn't matter anymore. deficits don't matter anymore, man.
That's right.
It's going to be your grandkids.
Not them.
One of a budget analyst at the Conservative Heritage Foundation basically tried to justify this. He's quoted in the Washington Post as saying, I think the public is ready for spending cuts. Not only do they understand there's a lot of waste in the federal budget, but the public is ready to make sacrifices during the war on terror. Well, excuse me, enough people have made sacrifices. People from kind of low incomes whose children are in the United States military, that is sacrifice.
Well, I wonder if they're going to do a tax increase as a result of that. Still to come, Recovery Corner, the presidential daily briefing. You on the phones and up next, linguistics professor George Lakoff. This is Air America Radio.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life. Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing.
I can't stand staying around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid, because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former Vice President Al Gore blasted President Bush and members of his cabinet yesterday, charging that Bush single-handedly put Americans abroad and at home at risk for his failed foreign policies and creating a conduit for terrorists to attack again. At prison interrogation center in Abu Ghraib, designed to get information on the movement of Iraqi insurgents, has been called a failure. Civilian and military officials agree the center has yielded very little in the way of information. U.S. military has captured the top aide of radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr during a raid in Najaf. The aide, identified as Riyad al-Nuri, is said to be al-Sadr's brother-in-law. Al-Sadr is reportedly looking to cut a deal in a bid for his release. And Democratic Party officials are saying that the party's apparent presidential nominee, John Kerry, should move with caution in attacking President Bush. This at a time when his poll numbers show that Bush could very well self-destruct. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Hi. I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
The Al Franken Factor.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Thursday on the Al Franken Factor, we'll be talking to the most influential person in the United States during the upcoming election. You, the voter. You, the voter, have a lot to answer for, and we're going to interrogate you, observing the Geneva Convention, of course, on the next Al Franken Factor.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanford on Air America Radio.
Good morning, Mark Maron here. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on some business we talked about just before the break. They're not only a conservative, but last October, the president's own campaign chairman, Mark Roscoe, told a forum of Arab Americans in Dearborn, Michigan, that the Patriot Act could use some refinement. So if that doesn't, you know, nail the fact that it's not just liberals.
I know.
And speaking of the way liberals approach things, the way conservatives approach things, the Republicans control the Senate, the House, and the White House, and in a big way they dictate national debate. Our next guest says there's a big difference in the way the right wing and the left wing frame issues. And I actually called this gentleman. I wrote him an email before I took this job because I'd read a piece by him about how the language of liberals and the language of conservatives can really define, you know, certain issues very specifically. And he sent me, like, just an amazing pile of information. I went out and bought his book, which is called Moral Politics, How Liberals and Conservatives Think. And I did as much homework as I could. Please welcome George Lakoff, Professor George Lakoff, to the show from Berkeley.
Ah, it's great to be here, Mark.
It's nice to see you. So what is the difference between progressives and conservatives? What defines them?
Well, it's not obvious, but the way to get at it is to ask a question. Why should conservatives have the bunch of positions they have? That is, why should the same people who are against abortion also be for a flat tax? Why should people who are for a flat tax also be against environmental regulations?
Right.
What do they have to do with each other? What does environmental regulations have to do with being against gun control?
How do they all connect?
How do they all connect? And then for us, I have exactly the opposite positions. How do they connect for me?
Right.
How do I know on a new issue what to believe?
Right. And how do they all connect?
Well, they all connect via a metaphor, interestingly enough, that we all have. The nation is a family. We have founding fathers.
Right.
We send our sons to war.
Right.
What's interesting is that there are two idealized models of the family that map onto the nation.
Okay.
A strict father family and a nurturing parent family.
The nurturing parent family being the kind of parent that said, if you're going to do drugs, do it at home so you know.
Well, not exactly. The nurturing parent family says something more responsible than that. If you're going to do drugs, don't, because here's what it'll do to you if it's this drug. If it's that drug, don't worry about it, but teach them exactly what's going on and what happens in your synapses when you do certain drugs,
right,
and why other drugs don't do that.
Informative and allowing the kid to make an educated decision.
Well, not just that. Being strong enough to say, I don't recommend this one.
Right.
Don't do this under any circumstances.
Right. You know? I had a bad time with it.
Yeah.
And as opposed to the tough love model, which you think is...
Well, the other model goes like this, and I think the details are very important. In the the nurturant details are important as well.
Yeah, I think I hijacked that with a stupid joke, so let me let you flesh it out.
Okay. The strict father model assumes that the world is a difficult and dangerous place, that there's competition, always will be and should be, winners and losers, and that kids are born bad and have to be made good, and there's only one way to make them good, and that is having a strict father.
Mm-hmm.
The strict father protects the family in the dangerous world, supports it in the difficult world, wins those competitions, and teaches his kids right from wrong, and there's only one way to do that, and that is punishment, preferably painful punishment.
Right.
And through physical discipline, the kid is supposed to internalize that to do whenever he does something wrong, to sort of get it internally so that he'll only do what's right and not what's wrong, that he learns internal discipline. And that has a secondary effect. Namely, if you're internally disciplined, you can go out into the world, pursue your self-interest, and become self-reliant. So you have a connection in this model between morality and prosperity. The internal discipline that allows you to become a moral being is the same as that which allows you to make your way in the world.
Okay, George Blakoff, you're a linguistics professor at Berkeley. Now, put this into context with our president. You know, give me a concrete example about how the theory plays out.
Here's how it goes. The idea is this. If what is to say about social programs?
Okay.
It says they're all immoral. Why? Because what they do is they give people things that they haven't earned, therefore making them weak, morally weak, dependent. And the people who are morally weak are therefore unable to make their way in the world and become dependent. The idea is to give them tough love, to force them to become disciplined, to be able to do the right thing as well as make a living.
Okay.
And that is part of it. So that your poverty is a measure of your own immorality and lack of discipline.
So,
and it's your own fault.
Right. And the language of that, the liberal language in approaching that same issue would be what?
Well, look at the other model. A nurturing parent model,
yes,
goes like this. It says you have two parents.
Right.
Your job is to nurture your child, raise your child to be a nurturer.
Right.
What does that mean? Nurturance is two things, empathy and responsibility. That is, you need to know what all those cries are. You need to be responsible yourself in order to raise a child.
Right.
And you have to be responsible for the child. And you have to teach the child to empathize with others, be responsible for themselves, and socially responsible. What follows from two values, empathy and responsibility? All progressive values follow. For example, if you're empathetic, then you want your child to be protected.
Yes.
You want your child to be treated fairly. You want your child to be fulfilled in life. Well, there's no fulfillment unless there's freedom to be fulfilled. There's no freedom unless there's opportunity. No opportunity without prosperity. All those are progressive values. You don't live in a bubble. You live in a community. So building community and maintaining it and caring about it is important. Then there's no community without cooperation, no cooperation without trust, no trust without honesty, none of that without open communication. Those are all progressive values, and those are the progressive values.
Now, how did they hijack our language then? How did they hijack the cultural language?
How did they do it?
They're right.
One, we let them, but also they were very clever about it. It wasn't just the language, it's the ideas.
Right,
the language
right.
follows from the ideas. Since 1970, they have built 43 think tanks with an investment of between $2 and $3 billion. That's enormous. Mm. They have also have a whole language apparatus in which they train people in how to talk through these ideas, at all levels, candidates at all levels throughout the country, judges, lawyers, even kids, you know, down to the age of 15 in summer camps. They have manuals that go out and tell you how to reason on every issue, how to talk about every issue, what their arguments are. And once you can think through their arguments and learn how to do that, then you use the right language. In addition to that, they have other ways of hijacking language. So there are two ways in which they do it. First, they get language that they really believe, that fits their beliefs. And secondly, they have what I'll call Orwellian language. That is language that goes that doesn't work at all, truly, but which is necessary when they're weak.
What's an example of that?
The Clear Skies Act, Compassionate Conservatism,
right.
The Healthy Forests Act. Their language man is a guy named Frank Luntz, who puts out all does all this training. And what he says about the environment is very, very interesting.
Hmm.
On the environment, his section says, hey, we're losing on global warming. The scientific evidence is coming in on the other side. So what do you do? What you do is use language. The words that environmentalists like are healthy, clean, and safe. Use healthy, clean, and safe, even if you're talking about coal plants, nuclear power plants.
Right.
And if you go to NPR, you'll hear about the healthy, clean, and safe nuclear power plants.
Isn't that called lying?
It's called certainly deceit. And they need it, but what's interesting about it is that they need it only when they're weak. They're telling us when they're weak, when they don't have public support.
We'll talk more to George Lakoff after the break, and we're going to take your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We want to hear your thoughts on the language of the left and right and your questions for Professor Lakoff. So call us here at Air America Radio.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm really impressed with Cordislim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CordaSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CordaSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CordaSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Forty-five past the hour. Good morning. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. We're talking to Professor Lakoff about his moral politics, how liberals and conservatives think. That's his book, George Lakoff, from linguistics professor from Berkeley. We're talking about the language of the left, how language defines things. If you have any questions about that, maybe what some questions around what we need to do as the left would be good. Call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Right now it is time to read today's presidential daily briefing, the highly classified top secret document that crosses the president's desk every morning. Today's PDB, terrorist attack plan for summer. Maybe you should read this one. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that terrorists are planning some kind of attack this summer. We know we told you this yesterday, but we're pretty sure you didn't read our brief. We're used to that, but today we have something you can understand. A wanted poster, pictures of bad guys, not a bunch of annoying words. Think of it as a menu. Just point and we'll get it for you. Again, don't mean to be a nudge about this, but we really need you to read this and pay attention this time. Study the poster. Memorize these faces. If you see any of them anywhere near the Republican convention, call us. This is what we do. The store is always open, 24/7. No kidding. Terrorist threat. Real. Important. Focus. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Here we go. Wendy, Connecticut.
I read a story in The Nation a couple months ago about Bush using the language of domestic abusers to inspire fear. And I was wondering if the professor had, you know, heard about that, written anything about that, had any comments.
Great. Thanks for your question. Did you hear a question?
Yes, it's about fear. I've written extensively about it. The reason is this. Fear evokes a strict father model.
Okay.
As soon as you have fear, then you need somebody who's going to protect you, who's going to, you know, take care of you.
Orange alert.
Mm-hmm. You got it. And as much fear as you can if you're going to evoke that model.
Wow, that's a good. That's interesting. Paul, how are you, Paul?
Hi.
Good.
I have a question for Professor Lakoff.
Mm-hmm.
Just read your book. I think it's great. I think one of the things that I got from the book was the fact that if as long as conservatives are upholding the strict father model, they're okay. It doesn't matter what rule they break. And I think that's something liberals don't understand. You know, we're always surprised that, you know, someone had an affair or something like that, but we don't realize that that doesn't matter as long as you're upholding the strict father model.
That's right. And
thank you, Paul.
The reason for that is that in that moral system, the highest value is perpetuating and defending the system itself. So therefore, you know, it's like, you know, defending God against Satan. You're always it's always good to fight evil, no problem. But as long as you're defending the right thing, then all bets are off, and you can do all sorts of things to other people.
Got it. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you can get away with it.
They're interested now.
Oh, no, that wasn't pointing at you. I was pointing at Chris.
No, because this is boggling my mind. I've just been listening to this. And the idea that I've always wondered how people who preach morality on the one hand, guys like Bill Bennett and these people, can have these lapses that you can drive a truck through and you know, still make these moral pronouncements with a straight face. And I think you just answered it for me.
There it is.
It's amazing.
Mike in Manhattan, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm just wondering if there's a way we can take the language back without doing it in this kind of doublespeak, big brother kind of way the right is doing. You know, I fighting fire with fire is one thing. But if you have principles and you want to go about this in an honest way, is there a way we can deal with this
Good question.
Yes, there is.
Good question, Mike.
And in fact, we have a think tank out in the East Bay in California called the Rock Ridge Institute that does this, www.rockridgeinstitute.org. Take a look at the details. Let me give you some examples. Compare taxation on the left and what you would say on the right and what you would say on the left. The right says it's tax relief, as if taxation were an affliction, right, and somebody who relieves it is a hero. What you need to do is talk about taxes as investments. Think about it for a second. If you're taxpayers, you have invested in the highway system, the Internet. Taxpayers paid for that, all the satellites, every cell phone is based on that, the entire scientific establishment, the medical establishment, mm-hmm, through NIH. All of these drugs, they've all come out of taxpayer money. You know, all of these things that we take for granted were investments, and we're reaping the dividends, and so are companies. Mm-hmm. Any company that goes and hires a scientist trained by NSF or NIH is making use of taxpayer money. If they use the Internet, and they all do, they're making use of taxpayer investments. Now, wise investments are important, and especially investments in people. Investments in people mean education and health. So it's important to talk about taxation as investments, or you wouldn't have what you have now if you didn't have it, and corporations get the most out of those investments.
Thank you so much for all your wisdom, Professor George Lakoff, the author of Moral Politics, How Liberals and Conservatives Think. He's a linguist professor at Berkeley. It was a true pleasure having you here. We will be back with Recovery Corner and much more here on Air America Radio.
This is a public warning. Deneet Allen, director of Sustainable World Coalition, gets real about global warming.
We're already in an age of mass extinctions now that's completely man-made, and that will exacerbate it. People will finally have to say, okay, we get it. Environment, we need to make the environment a priority now and protect it.
Allen is the brainchild of the Sustainable World Symposium. The conference will model the three pillars of sustainability as determined by the UN.
Those three are environment, social justice, and economics.
The fourth part is actions for sustainability.
We investigate the different strategies and individual actions that we can all be taking.
The one-day event is June 19th in San Francisco. Online at swcoalition.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check. Your daily one-minute terrestrial examination. Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
This year, you're going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. The Smoking Solution components have already helped thousands of ex-smokers kick the habit permanently. We guarantee you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 7 days or your money back. Unlike gums or patches, the Smoking Solution is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. We also include the Slimming Solution to fight weight gain, powerful antioxidants to help heal your lungs and body, and much, much more. Best of all, the Smoking Solution system works fast. In as little as 1 week, we can help you kick the habit once and for all. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the Smoking Solution system is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com.
It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
Good morning. Morning Sedition here. I'm Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. That was a lot of hears. Mm-hmm. Professor George Lakoff was just with us. If you'd like to get more information about taking back the cultural language and making it progressive again, you can go to www.rockridgeinstitute.org. And I'd like to say my name's Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
In Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. Today, as always, I'm offering my advice to my sponsor, George W. Let's have a little history lesson. George, Richard Nixon was a Republican president stuck in an unpopular war with no exit strategies. His numbers were falling. The press hated him. Sound familiar? Now we're learning that in 1973, 5 days into the Arab-Israeli war, with World War III staring us in the face, Tricky Dick was too drunk to discuss the crisis with the British Prime Minister. Did you see that? That's true stuff. Are you scared yet, George? You should be. Dick Nixon was a smart man who actually understood foreign policy, and even he couldn't do the job sober. You understand where I'm going with this? You might be heading for a drink. I look at you, and, well, you're no Dick Nixon. Let's put it that way. If you ever thought of drinking would help you perform as president, George W., think about Nixon sitting alone in the Oval Office with a highball, tape recording himself, and babbling about JFK and the Jews. So sad. All right, George W., sober, you're useless, but drunk, you're a threat to world security. But it's good to stay sober. This is program we're talking to. Stay on the program or we won't have George W. Bush to kick around anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? Remember, nothing is so bad that a drink won't make it worse. There is no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Keep your sobriety first to make it last. If we don't grow, we got to go. We're all here because we're not all there. Don't drink. Get to a meeting.
Sober, you're useless. I like that. That is truly deep.
Drunk, you're dangerous.
Yeah.
There is no halfway there, is there really?
No.
Maybe you can pick up cigarettes.
Hey, here's a couple emails. This is a very nice email from Andrew in Phoenix. I can't believe I'm listening to you guys and actually agreeing with you.
Wait, it's from Rush?
No. Nonetheless, it's you guys that have taken me from a Bush voter in 2000 to an ardent Kerry fan now. That is exactly what we like to hear, and, you know, thank you for letting us know. That's really, can I say, wonderful?
Yeah.
Aw, Andrew, thank you.
Can I just give the email address for them? www.morningsedition@airamericaradio.com.
It's just sedition.
Oh, so
sedition at Air America Radio.
Can I give the incorrect one, and then you give the correct one?
Yeah.
That works.
Knock yourself out, kayak girl. Here's another one. If Bush allows another attack on U.S. soil, he's gone for sure. The Bush administration is simply using scare tactics to sway the fence sitters. There is no threat. That's from someone in Knoxville. There might be a threat, but I definitely agree with you. It seems like it is a setup. If they like it when there's fear, as Professor Lakoff was saying, you know, when there's fear, people are easily controlled because they need the da-da.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about the Gore speech yet? It was the best of his career, from Richard, Mayberry Machiavelli. Richard. Yes, we have talked about it, and we're going to kick it out right now. Let's kick us some Gore here.
We cannot afford to further increase the risk to our country with more blunders by this team. Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign immediately as the chief architect of this plan. Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, the intelligence chief, Stephen Cambone, all ought to resign immediately. Our nation is at risk every single day. Rumsfeld remains as Secretary of Defense.
Let me step off the table.
Did you expect a hallelujah?
Yeah.
It's that great Southern accent, like the Donald and the resign.
Four years too late, but very appreciated.
Yeah. Excellent. Well done. Well done, Al Gore. We're heading into the home stretch of Morning Sedition in the next hour. Sydney Blumenthal with the Salon.com story of the day, the morning devotional, and the liberal agenda. This is Air America Radio.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works. Not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello. Relief.
Prilosec's label says,
It may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is getting ready to embark on another nationwide tour to roll out his plan for national security for the American people. Kerry will be making an 11-day speaking tour that will take him to several states. Kerry yesterday in Seattle, Washington, accused the Bush administration of using the Department of Homeland Security as a photo op while failing to protect the nation against terrorism. Kerry questioned the administration's concern about terror when it continues to cut federal funding for law enforcement programs. Kerry also wants to know why the administration, in his words, has not stepped up surveillance at American ports and rail service around the country. The Democrats were on a tear yesterday as evidence in an NYU appearance by former Vice President Al Gore. Former presidential candidate Wednesday sounded like he was back in the race himself with a blistering attack on President Bush. He called his political opponent in the 2000 presidential contest a complete failure when it comes to foreign policy. Gore told a receptive audience that Bush has made Americans vulnerable to further terrorist attacks. He called for the resignations of several key Bush cabinet members, especially Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who he feels puts the nation at risk each day he remains at the helm of defense. Some are saying that something has happened to veteran comic and distinguished educator Bill Cosby. Earlier this month, he turned a symbolic commemorative event in Washington, D.C. on the 50th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education into a political soapbox to blast low to middle income blacks for not doing enough to advance the next generation with good values. Since then, his public appearances have been marked with similar attacks that have spawned greater public discussion.
At 9 feet, 4 feet above flood stage, but not the 6 feet that they thought of.
You can't just blame white people for this, man. You can't. Whether I'm right wing or left, some people are not parenting. Yeah.
Educator and longtime actor, comic Bill Cosby, as he appeared on CNN this morning. New York Times reports this morning that the questioning of hundreds of Iraqi prisoners has done nothing to provide valuable intelligence on the movement of insurgent elements in Iraq. U.S. military erected an interrogation center for the sole purpose of extracting information about the insurgents from the prison population. Both military and civilian officials have conceded that the mission has been a failure, yielding very much in the way of information. The interrogation center was housed in a special cell block of the infamous Abu Ghraib prison. Reports say that many of those questioned were not linked to the anti-American movement in Iraq. And 21 years of war in Sudan have come to a formal end on paper after the principals involved in the conflict yesterday signed a peace agreement. Some 2 million people have lost their lives in the African state. War received little media attention in the West, often overshadowed by Gulf Wars 1 and 2, in addition to other world conflicts. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customize laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020, or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com. Grubs.com.
This is the sound of grubs, eating machines destroying your lawn. They eat and eat and eat. End the destruction all season. With Bayer Advanced season-long grub control with Merit, one application protects your yard in two ways, killing more grubs than any other product, plus providing season-long protection against future grub problems. Guaranteed. No wonder Merit from Bayer is the number one choice of professionals. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
Listen, Bush came down here. We want to send him back.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
I've never heard people really, truly own up to the fact that we do have an electoral college, and that is why George Bush won the election.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I don't have any problem with him disagreeing with Bush and thinking he's wrong. I think all the Democrats are wrong.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. It's Thursday. Welcome aboard. We're happy to have you. We've got all kinds of stuff planned. We've got the liberal agenda coming up. We've got President Palm Pilot. We got Tony Hendra, who used to write for the original National Lampoon, one of the great satirists of his era, that being the 70s and beyond. He's written a new book.
Yeah.
And we've got nothing but fear and panic across the land because of this terrorist threat. You know, they won't even raise the color. You know, they're hesitant to raise the color.
Don't call it the color. Call it the threat level.
The threat level. The threat level. They won't even raise the threat level to orange because it's nonspecific. But they say, you know, be afraid. Be very afraid and remember who your daddy is.
Mm-hmm.
Remember your daddy is George Bush. I'm using George Lakoff terms. Now Professor Lakoff was in the studio. But, you know, this thing, this terrorist threat is, as one of our callers pointed out to me, because initially I thought, well, look, you know, they're presenting us with a wanted poster. They got pictures of everybody. I think they actually had the one woman who's involved. I don't know her name. They had a headshot of her. They had, like, her serious headshot, and then, you know, when she was portraying, you know, they had, you know, they've got their high school diplomas. They've got their resumes. One of the guys was a convert from Southern California. His name's Adam Perlman. Now it's, you know, Adam, you know, something more complicated. And, you know, they basically... Here's the breakdown.
The list.
Yeah, I still can't pronounce that. But, you know, they seem to have all the information on these guys. So the big question is, if they are so good on terror, why don't they just pick these guys up? And that was my question initially to a caller who said, hey, dude, you know, wake up. This is a smokescreen. As soon as this happened, you know, the president tried to sell his Iraq policy on Monday. It was a bust. He had no new information other than this, you know, idea of tearing down a prison. And no one really paid attention. He didn't sell it. And so 2 days later, now we got a terrorist threat. And he's setting it up for a big win. He's setting it up. He's like, he's putting these guys up. You can see their faces. But because they know where they are, they're just going to wait it out and catch one or two of them. And say, look what we did. See, we told you 3 days ago, and now we found him. This kid worked in the video store. Yeah, I don't know really how it's going to play out. But the truth of the matter is, let's listen to John Ashcroft, because I think we want to contradict him.
For 32 months now, we have not had a major terrorist attack on American soil. We are winning the war on terror, but we should never forget that it is a war.
Look, you know, I've got just some evidence here that proves that we are not winning the war on terror. And George Bush, in his speech on Monday, actually said Iraq is now the central front in the war on terror. But it wasn't before we went there. There was no connection whatsoever except with Zarqawi. Right?
Yes.
Who, you know, the, what's his first name? The guy who supposedly cut off Nick Berg's head.
Musab.
Musab Zarqawi, who was in the no-fly zone of Iraq and was left there by the Bush administration in order to justify their invasion of Iraq. They didn't kill the guy. They had three shots at him.
Right.
And since, in the 4 years prior to September 11th, there were eight attacks, 349 fatalities in seven different nations. Since 9/11, and 3 years after, 14 attacks, that's more, 599 fatalities, that's more, 10 nations, that's more, and that's not including the war. We are not winning the war on terror.
No, but the more that's, you know, all they can say is we are winning, and people go, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, we must be, because they sound just so convincing. It's amazing that they can come and say, he could say that today, John Ashcroft, although we could be quoting him today, after that think tank. The IISS said that, you know, since 9/11, that now there were an estimated 18,000 potential terrorists.
18,000?
Al-Qaeda-related terrorists in more than 60 countries around the world. That is not winning a war when you have increased the number of, you know, kind of furious, kind of, you know, fundamentalist, you know, terrorist-leaning peoples.
But there goes that language thing again, see?
Yeah.
What Ashcroft was talking about, so it's easy. It's interesting to see the way he blends stuff. Because, see, now that Professor Lakoff has been here, I'm starting to think like this. He wasn't talking about any terror attacks outside the U.S. What he was saying is we're winning the war on terror only because it hasn't come here again.
That's what scares me about the other language with this thing is, like, they're planning something big. He said they're planning something big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other countries around the world, there have been big terrorist attacks, but certainly nothing ever as devastating as the attack on the World Trade Center here in New York City, which killed almost 3,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in America, like, the idea when they say big, you know, our only barometer for in-house terrorist attacks is 9/11. So it really instills a great deal of fear. You know, Israel deals with this stuff almost on a week to week basis, you know, in a more intimate form, and that terror attacks around the world, some of them are awful, they're all awful, but the numbers are nowhere near what we had to go through, you know, with the Twin Towers.
Are you saying that he's saying prepare yourself to lose 3,000 more?
I'm saying that, you know, what he is saying in terms of, you know, just American terrorism, like everything in America, has got to be spectacular.
Yeah. Really,
you know,
really big.
And that instills fear in even me. And I am a questioning, hypercritical, paranoid to the point of, you know, unhealthiness person. You know, so I am, I'm full of fear, but I'm also assessing some of the input from our callers in terms of, like, well, maybe this is a real sham. I'm not saying that the threat doesn't exist, but the timing is suspect.
But here's some more facts that we're not going to get out of John Ashcroft or Tom Ridge. That the U.S. occupation of Iraq, apparently, according to the strategic survey that was done by the International Institute of Strategic Studies this week, that's the London-based think tank, more than 1,000 foreign Islamic fighters have been drawn into, you know, enticed into Iraq who weren't there before the U.S. occupation.
He's created jobs.
Absolutely.
As you said yesterday, Bush is creating jobs for terrorists.
But you know what? We have an opportunity. See, because with each one of these things comes an opportunity. We've had Bush on Monday. Then we had Ashcroft, Ridge, and Mueller yesterday. Now we get Kerry today. So people can see a very clear contrast with the way the Bush administration is looking at all this and the way John Kerry is looking at all this.
And he's stepping up a little bit.
Yeah, he's ramping things up.
Kerry is definitely saying, look, you know, I can do a better job.
Yeah, at fighting terror and keeping the homeland safe than George W. Bush.
Than this guy who politicizes terror.
That is the key thing. It's the doing the better job, because they aren't talking about such very different things. As Bush has had to kind of backpedal and kind of modify his go-it-alone stance and say, you know, we need actually more help from other countries. They've appealed to the United Nations. You know, John Kerry is saying we need the United Nations. We maybe even need some NATO troops. And, you know, Democrats are actually kind of pressuring him more to say we want troop withdrawal. Kerry is kind of standing firm, not very different from Bush's position, but where he is different, and this is very important, is that he's believable. He's not backpedaling from something. And
people
feel he's more credible, and you can trust him on what he says.
Well, yeah, because he hasn't really backpedaled. Bush is changing his position. And see, there's something very interesting going on as well as far as Iraq is concerned. Because as Mark Maron correctly predicted yesterday, the guy that they wanted to be the new prime minister of Iraq.
I don't think it's such a good idea.
He decided, listen, I can better serve in another capacity.
I had some time to think about this, and when they were fitting me for my flak jacket yesterday, I realized, maybe I could serve better in the private sector.
You think Paul Bremer is saying, next?
Paul Bremer is saying, please, dude, please, help us out here. You know what I mean? You can do this. We've got a bulletproof car for you. We've got, we'll have guys around you. We've got Negroponte coming in.
And he knows how to deal with this.
He'll have death squads at your disposal whenever you feel threatened in any way.
But you know who's responding to this? And we need to pay very close attention to this as it evolves. The Chinese.
That gave me the willies, that story. Because, that story, you got it in front of you there?
Yep.
It is didn't it have a weird kind of World War III vibe to it?
Yeah, because they want to know. They want to know what the American plan is as far as this, as replacing this guy. And they want a definite timetable for a troop withdrawal.
They're saying, you guys can't have your hand on the spigot. You know what I mean? You can't control the whole, 10 yards. And the international community, whether they're going to participate in the reconstruction of Iraq or not, are saying, you can't control that country if you are going to turn that country over. And when China steps into anything, you got to go, whoa. they got all the people.
Well, plus they're an important part of the United Nations.
Yeah, they got veto power.
They got veto power, and you can't do anything unless they sign on to it.
Well, we will be back with the liberal agenda, the Palm Pilot, and all kinds of other stuff. Our guest, Tony Hendra, later here on Air America Radio, and Sydney Blumenthal, too. Come on back.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good morning. It's Thursday. Welcome. If you're just tuning in, I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey. Morning.
Doing the business.
Mm-hmm.
It is now time for my buddy in the Oval Office who, you know, vacuums, also sneaks in and hacks the president's Palm Pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule, May 27th, 8 a.m. Wake up. Try again to vote for Fantasia on American Idol. Damn busy signal. 8:10 a.m. Secret Service informs you that voting is over. 8:11 a.m. Sulk. 9:30 a.m. Meet with President of El Salvador. Ask if he knows Ramon, you know, the guy with the stuff from back in the day. 1:55 p.m. Participate in conversation on healthcare information technology. Nashville, Tennessee. Unveil state-of-the-art healthcare denial system. 3 p.m. TP Trees outside Dixie Chick's house. You know that he'd have a good time. 4:30 p.m. Meet in Nashville Public Park with Ramon, who has the stuff from back in the day. 4:32 p.m. Order bombing of Syria. 4:34 p.m. Order bombing of Iran. 4:36 p.m. Order bombing of Cuba. 4:38 p.m. Order bombing of San Francisco. 4:40 p.m. Cancel all bombings. Note, don't visit Ramon anymore. 5:35 p.m., attend Victory 2004 Reception Private Residence, Nashville. Watch Hee Haw Marathon with George Jones and Merle Haggard. Laugh and laugh and laugh. Thanks, Ramon. 8 p.m., try to wind down. Can't. Call Toby Keith and go out for some line dancing. 4 a.m., get home. Have Ramon arrested. That's the presidential Palm Pilot for today. Time now for our Salon.com story of the day. The big story today, an espionage investigation into the neocons' relationship with Ahmed Chalabi. Salon.com's Washington Bureau Chief and former aide to President Clinton. Our old buddy Sidney Blumenthal is our guest today. Sidney, how are you?
I'm just fine.
What exactly did you find out about this investigation, about this weaselly guy?
Well, Ahmed Chalabi, it is believed by our intelligence agencies, is a double agent. He was the neocon darling who they wanted to put into office as the head of Iraq. He provided all the disinformation about the weapons of mass destruction that turned out not to be there. He was the one who fed Judy Miller of the New York Times all of her false stories that she published before the war. And now, it turns out, according to our team, that he's an Iranian agent, that he had been in the feeding information from the U.S. government military to Iran. So this was either the greatest con since the Trojan horse.
Wow.
Or it was the greatest op ever committed by Iran against the United States, or both. So what's going on? The FBI is now investigating to see who gave the information to Chalabi, and they are now going to the offices of the various neoconservatives around Washington, and it is an espionage investigation.
Wow. How much of the information was classified?
No one knows whether these were top secret. This was top secret information.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows yet if the people who spoke to Chalabi were witting or unwitting, whether they gave it willingly, whether they knew that he was an Iranian agent, as he is now charged. So there's a lot to find out, but this is yet another serious investigation.
Sidney Blumenthal, following your piece today on Salon.com about how Ahmed Chalabi looks as though he's a double agent for the Iranians, who, if anybody, do you think will be held accountable for having given him the huge amount of money he got from the United States?
Well, we have to look at the friends of Ahmed Chalabi. I remember years ago there was a book called The Friends of Eddie Coyle by a great writer named George V. Higgins, all about a small-time mobster in Boston. And now we got to look at the friends of Ahmed Chalabi. Who were his friends? Well, Richard Pearl, the neoconservative Pan Jandrum, Paul Wolfowitz, good friend, Deputy Secretary of Defense, and all of those other people in defense, like Doug, everyone, I would say, who's on the list of people who ought to resign that Al Gore gave out yesterday.
Duplicitous, slimy guys, all of them.
And a lot of them are in these conservative think tanks in Washington. Here they all are. They promoted this guy. They put him out. And there are people in the mainstream media who have been his friends and promoted him. And so the question is, for those who have been in government, what did they tell him and when?
Sidney Blumenthal, the New York Times had a kind of interesting mea culpa in the paper yesterday about its reporting during the run-up to the war. Are you saying that that is directly tied to information that they got from Chalabi?
There's no question about it. The reporter who did most of those stories, Judy Miller, has said publicly that her source was Ahmed Chalabi. Those stories were systematically false, many of them fabricated by Chalabi, and they were part of an orchestrated campaign not only by Chalabi but by the administration to create the rush to war. And the New York Times, witting or unwitting, was a party to this atmosphere and creating the rationale for the war and creating the reasons that Secretary of State Colin Powell gave in his famous UN speech for the war, which turned out to be completely false. And Powell has now said that he was deliberately deceived.
But Sidney, very quickly, if Judy Miller can say she's sorry she didn't know, how come the neoconservatives can't pull the same thing?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, President Bush can't admit a mistake when asked, and the neoconservatives can't say they got everything wrong. But now it's not a question of public apologies. Really, they have to tell it to the FBI agents who are interviewing them.
Sidney Blumenthal, thank you for joining us. Always good to talk to you. Sidney Blumenthal with his Salon.com story of the day. If you'd like to go there and check that out and get the full story on Chalabi.
Hey, can we get you think we can send a delegation of American taxpayers to Iraq and ask for our money back from this guy?
Yeah, that would be $3 million altogether.
Yeah, something like that. I got a case of the shorts. I could use a couple extra.
Yeah, he mentioned the Gore speech, so why don't we hit it again? It's fun.
We simply cannot afford to further increase the risk to our country with more blunders by this team. Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign immediately as the chief architect of this plan. Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, the intelligence chief Stephen Cambone, all ought to resign immediately. Our nation is at risk every single day Rumsfeld remains as Secretary of Defense.
I kind of wish that someone was driving through one of those trucks with those great big loudspeakers on the side that they do in campaigns, just blaring that speech out of the side. You know what they do in, like, these small towns when people are campaigning?
Yeah.
Someone should be driving around D.C.
Oh, they do that in big towns, too,
well,
believe me.
They should be doing it with that speech. It should be kind of blaring around the streets of the Capitol. Maybe they should then, you know, record it and do it in other places.
Yeah. Don't start with me, man.
That was an electronically pre-recorded Mark Riley. Yeah.
I got a machine. I'll never do it again.
I'm competing with myself.
And he's not happy with it. Well, you could say no, and then you could contradict yourself with a yeah.
Yeah, I definitely could.
I'm never going to do
How
it
How about
again.
Yeah, 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 fast?
No, oh, my goodness.
He's going to do it on his own. He's going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, I understand.
I'm getting old.
You know what? I wish I could say he was blushing, but I can't tell.
No, you're not going to be able to tell. I'm not blushing. That was me. I said it.
That's me.
Oh, was that the confronting that bully student on the streets of London?
That was me greeting Mark in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a new machine, and we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
It's not a new machine to radio as a medium, obviously, but it's a new machine to me.
Yeah, and he's looking very happy. And, I don't hear that stretching sound of maturing that we heard earlier, by the way. I hear a kind of shrinking sound.
Come on, hit a couple of more.
Okay.
Poontang to you. Oh, no, don't do that. That is so mean. That is beyond mean. I might have to sue for that one.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, that's the last time I'll use that one.
I think I need that one. I have a little word with some electronic person to delete that. Thank you, guys.
Oh, Lord,
thank you
mercy.
So much.
much.
Shall we just go home now? Is that what we're supposed to be doing?
No, we got Tony Andrews.
That's right.
I was elevating the tone with that comment, by the way.
Thank you very much. Tony Hendrick is up next. The Morning Devotional plus the Liberal Agenda. You don't want to miss Air America Radio.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are making the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Four key nations have proposed major changes to the U.S.-British draft resolution in Iraq that would give the new government the right to decide whether the multinational force remains in the country while limiting the force's mandate to January 2005. China was the architect of the latest proposal. Former Vice President Al Gore gave a fiery speech at New York University yesterday, slamming the Bush White House and calling for several resignations. Yet another death penalty trial for convicted Beltway sniper John Allen Muhammad. His defense attorneys in his first trial will represent him in the second in the killing of FBI analyst Linda Franklin in Virginia. And the death toll from the severe flooding in the Dominican Republic and Haiti is close to 2,000. A multinational rescue effort is underway in both countries. Some 200 people remain unaccounted for. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
So what else is news?
American Idol could break its rating record this week, and the local Fox affiliates hope that'll carry over to their evening newscasts.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
American Idol's a cheap way to fill up an hour of prime time. Local news is filled with weather, crime, celebrity murders, celebrity trials, celebrity eating disorders, you know. But there is hope.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Welcome. Good morning. Welcome back. If you're coming back, I'm Mark Maron. It's Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio.
And just a little apology. Come on, come on.
I'm sorry for the
Mark played something,
no,
something that I said that I'm not going to repeat many, many weeks ago without knowing what it meant, and now I'm completely mortified and they are
poontang.
No, don't do that. You will never hear that again. You will never, ever, ever.
Wait, deleted
from the record.
Hold up. You heard,
I'm suing for damages.
You heard this man say before the break, oh, no, I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
And you
know
took
what?
Him at
do you know how much trust there is around here?
We'll get rid of it.
Zip. Anyway, let's go to our guest.
Yeah, we have a guest in the studio who I'm very excited to see, actually. You might remember him from the film This Is Spinal Tap. He's a well-known humorist. He invented some of what we know as modern satire since the 70s, late 70s, certainly. And the author of more than a dozen books, most recently Father Joe. Tony Hendra is here. Thank you for coming.
All right.
Great to be here.
So your new book is about a relationship with a Catholic priest, and it's not a satire.
No, it's not a satire at all. And actually, he wasn't a priest. He was even more extreme than that. He was a monk.
Wow.
And a Benedictine monk of a contemplative order, which means that he spent his entire extremely long life behind walls in a cloister. And I got to know him when I was a kid and maintained a relationship through about 40 years of an extremely nefarious career.
And how did the relationship begin?
Well, I was 14 and having an affair with a married Catholic woman.
Wow.
That
doesn't happen to a lot of people.
No, not too bad.
And she confessed to him or you did?
No, no, actually, I should add that it wasn't really that much of an affair. I only got to second base. But,
at 14, that counts, though.
Yeah.
For a lot.
It's all part of the learning experience.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was second base because I was growing up in England, of course.
Yeah, it's a home run in England.
But anyway, the third party of this mix, the husband, was a Catholic convert. And they're all, you know, more Catholic than the Pope. And rather than shoot me, or, you know, a perfectly normal thing, he decided that we had to go on spiritual retreat to this place called Core Abbey, which is in the Isle of Wight.
The husband of the woman that seduced you, I'm supposing, takes you out for a weekend
with a monk. To meet this monk who evidently had, solved some of their multiple problems.
Wait a minute, the two of you went alone to meet this monk?
Yeah.
And you weren't afraid.
Guys, okay?
I was extremely afraid. I was incredibly afraid. Are you kidding?
I mean, I
was growing up in 50s England, and 50s Catholicism was full of, you know, brutes.
But not the same type of fear that might be happening now of people.
No, much more simple fear.
Yeah.
It will hurt.
Yeah.
And then you add to that, you know, these guys in hoods wandering around cloisters.
Mumbling in Latin.
Yes. So I was terrified. But when I finally met Father Joe, he was just as gentle, and he was funny. He actually almost looked like a cartoon. He had big flat feet and sort of groundhog nose and enormous ears. But he was a magnificent, wonderful guy, and he had this kind of stillness about him. You know, he immediately quelled all my fears.
So what did he say?
So he moved you, huh?
Ah, well, you have to read the book for that, sir.
I know you didn't beat you up, you're here with us.
No,
but,
basically what he said was, tell me everything, you know, and he listened. He listened to everything I had to say, and he didn't judge me at all. He didn't threaten me with hell, which most priests did. He didn't threaten me with punishment of any kind. He said, I think you've probably done enough penance just being in the agony you've been put through. And he said, your only sin really is selfishness.
Wow. So, and this is a relation. We're talking to Tony Hendra, who you might know as an actor and a very famous satirist from the original National Lampoon on up through Spy Magazine, has written a book called Father Joe, a memoir about his relationship with a Benedictine monk.
Sure.
And this relationship lasted your
entire life,
basically.
Not to tell the entire story, because it'll take your entire program. But this flourished to such an extent that I decided I wanted to become a monk. I spent most of my school years preparing for monkhood. You could say I was a teenage monk. You know,
and that's where National Lampoon came from.
Well, there you go.
It got some good ink in the book review on Sunday. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading myself. I'd like to turn the conversation to satire.
Okay.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't know what it means and whether, you know, is there, from what you can tell, any real good satire happening today? And if so, what? And if not, why?
Well, I always hate to wax serious about funny things, but I think I haven't seen recently any anything that I would call satire in a kind of technical definition. I mean, to me, the greatest satire, certainly the greatest American satire that's ever been written, was Doctor Strangelove.
Mm-hmm.
And if you extrapolate from Doctor Strangelove what true satire should be, and this goes back to Swift, and it, you know, mm-hmm. it goes forward to other people. It's when you take on the character and ideas and so forth of your target.
Yes.
And in other words, you become your target, really. And you take those characteristics to such extremes that you destroy your target.
Right.
And that's essentially what Kubrick did with the U.S. Air Force in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, that kind of satire is completely moribund.
So the type of stuff, when people do what you're saying, which is take on the personality or the ways of thinking of their subject, a lot of times it falls way short now, and it just becomes parody, and it doesn't have much power.
Yeah, I mean, simply doing funny stuff about politics is not satire.
Right.
I mean, it can be very funny, which is fine, but so, and it can be very biting.
And you can't. Do you think it's possible to do now? Of course, right?
Well, I'd certainly keep trying.
What if you?
I mean, for example, yeah. this is a bit self-serving, but anyway,
it's all right.
The Abu Ghraib stuff is impossible to satirize on a primary level. You can't satirize these photographs. This is the kind of thing that you might do as part of a satire,
right?
To satirize, you
make
know,
a point.
Any kind of military activity. But it seemed to me that you have to get behind it, and you always, with satire, have to look first to the authorities.
Right.
You've got to go to the powerful.
Yeah.
You know, satire is essentially a tool of the powerless or the not very powerful against the much more powerful.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, I write this humor column in the American Prospect every couple of weeks, and I thought, well, the real essence here is not abuse or even sort of sadism, it's racism. You know, what this is really about is racism.
Mm-hmm.
So the last piece but one that I wrote in the American Prospect was this very scholarly article, which actually had been put out by a combined team from the Adolf Kurz Center for Studying Arabs at Pepperdine University and the Charles Murray Institute for Eugenics at West Texas Christian University. And the burden of this study was that this group, this team, had proved conclusively from all kinds of academic disciplines that Arabs were not human.
Don't tell me, people complained.
That makes it okay to torture them if they're just animals.
As the dean of Pepperdine Law School, Kenneth Starr, pointed out, these findings obviously mean that Arabs do not have inalienable rights, and they certainly don't have human rights because they're hominids.
Yeah, right.
And so you extrapolate from that.
That's great. That's an effective satire. Now, the reason why people don't do it much anymore is I'm sure it was completely misunderstood by a multitude.
Well, as my editor there, Michael Tomasky, who's the editor-in-chief.
Oh, I know Michael real well.
Oh, he's great. He's a wonderful guy. But he said that there was this real split at the Prospect over this, because there were some people who thought it was great, sort of Swiftian satire.
Yeah.
And other people thought it was just offensive.
That's hilarious.
That we shouldn't be saying Arabs are not human.
Tony Hendra, stay with us. We're talking to Tony Hendra. We're going to take your calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. So what's your take on comedy? Is anything off limits, or do you have some questions for Mr. Hendra? Give us a buzz here on Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
It is now 45 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I am here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. And our guest in studio is writer, satirist, actor, provocateur,
okay,
Tony Hendra. We're taking your calls for Tony Hendra at 866-303-2270. But right now it is time, as always, for our morning devotional. Dear Lord, today we'd like to offer a prayer for your servant John Kerry. We're all interested in who he's going to choose as his running mate, Lord. It's important. He's a good guy, Lord, but he's going to need some help in the Elvis department. A little sex appeal injection, if you know what I'm saying. I was online, and there was a poll. Hillary Clinton came in third for possible running mates. You've got to smite this down, Lord. I know I sound paranoid. I know this is 99% not going to happen, but I want you to kill that 1%, Lord. Could you please? We can't have any Clinton screwing up this election this year. No one loves Bill and Hillary more than I do, but keep them away. They're brilliant. They're charismatic. And they're nothing but trouble, Lord. You want to speak at a convention? Great. You want to organize a fundraiser? Even better. But stay off the ticket. I don't know what you did to them, Lord, but they're damaged goods. Forgive me for being so petty. Had to get it off my chest. Thanks, man. Amen. A.M. Chris in Connecticut, you got something you want to talk to Tony about?
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's such a thing as a statute of limitations before you can consider a tragedy fodder for comedy material. In the title sequence for Police Squad, they had a scene where Abe Lincoln would turn around and shoot back at the assassins. And very often you would see a visual reference to the Hindenburg explosion as like a comedy punchline, kind of like a visual version of wah, wah, wah.
Yeah,
wah.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. Okay, let's see what he has to say. Thanks a lot, Chris.
The one thing that comes to mind immediately here is the very famous quote of Lenny Bruce, who said, comedy is tragedy plus time.
Yeah.
And I think it's true that, you know, there is always a kind of waiting period, especially over disasters and human tragedies. There's nothing funny about it when it's raw. But inevitably, you know, the truth of these things comes out, and it's usually somebody's fault. And that when that happens, it obviously begins to open itself up to the kind of ridicule and cutting edge
that it deserves.
That it deserves, exactly.
Dave in Florida, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man.
I love this kind of humor.
Yeah.
I'm at ground zero myself. I'm in the Cocoa Beach area. I'm at ground zero for for bad jokes. And, every time one of the shuttles explodes, I won't repeat the jokes, but we all know them.
So, do you have a question, or you just wanted to say you support the type of humor we're talking about?
I'm showing my support. One of my best friends is a kind of founding father of Screw Magazine. His name's Jack Nichols, and he's going to be up your way for Gay Pride in June.
Okay.
He'll be on a float waving at you, I guess.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for your call.
We'll wave back. Wait a minute.
Thanks the guy from thanks Screw Magazine, and he's in a gay parade?
Yeah, why not? You know, everyone screws. Hey, the phone number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We're talking to Tony Hendra. We're talking now to John in New Jersey. John, how are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's going on?
I had a question. Basically, like, I was wondering, are we kind of like shooting ourselves in the foot sometimes by making fun of our own, you know, whether it's from Dean to Gore? You know what I mean? Like you know, they sometimes seem like they're getting passionate or too human, but then we turn on them. And doesn't that seem like counterproductive?
That's an interesting question. Can you address that? He's talking as liberals, because we do a lot of comedy on this show where we make fun of the liberal stance and sort of amplify it in a satirical way. And a lot of times people are like, "Hey, don't make fun of Kerry. He's our guy."
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think anyone's immune, and so certainly nobody should be sacred enough that you can't touch them.
It humanizes people in a certain regard.
Well, I think that's very true too. And plus, I mean, frankly, this sounds a little tendentious, but I do think that satire properly done is a form of journalism. And it's like the inspired lie can sometimes tell you more about an issue than any amount of carefully researched facts.
Absolutely.
So if it's a corrective in that sense, what's the harm?
Exactly. That's a good way to look at it. Thank you very much, Tony Hendra. The book is Father Joe. You can also read his Bell Curve Levant version at prospect.org on the American Prospect magazine.
All right.
And speaking of making fun of liberals, we got Al Gore on the phone when we come back. Thank you for joining us, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rate in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's
really important, your business. GemHR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GemHR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GemHR.com. At GemHR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Here we go, getting ready to go. Mark Maron here at Morning's Edition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellica. We've had quite a day. If you missed it, you missed a good one. You should tune in tomorrow for another one, because they're getting better as each day goes by. And when I say that, and I'm a guy with no self-esteem whatsoever, so if I say that, it might mean something. Hey, I just want to get a little contact high from the Gore speech again. Could you play that Gore speech from last night? Give me a little bit of that again, Chris.
We simply cannot afford to further increase the risk to our country with more blunders by this team. Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign immediately as the chief architect of this plan. Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, the intelligence chief Stephen Cambone, all ought to resign immediately. Our nation is at risk every single day Rumsfeld remains as Secretary of Defense.
And as an exclusive here on Morning Sedition, Al Gore has called us on the phone. We're going to put him on the line right now. How are you, Vice President?
I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm angry. Ryan Seacrest ought to resign. Britney Spears ought to resign. Frankie Valli ought to resign. We've had enough. I'm an angry man.
I like the new Al Gore. Where was this anger 4 years ago?
I've been quiet long enough.
Finally, he's
angry,
come here, Michelle. Hallelujah.
Stop it. Al Gore says, no more in 2004. Show push the door.
I think you should go on tour with the Al Gore and the MoveOn.org. So it'd be like the backing group of cheering and an owl kind of like standing like the silverback.
Amen, Sue.
Tipper. Couldn't Tipper and the girls do some kind of Supremes thing?
No, he's just like Tourette-ing kind of. Thank you for calling, Mr. Vice President.
And now he's gone back to his cage.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Kind of reminded me of Howard Dean there for a minute.
His is a little weird. All up, that's for sure.
He's a little stranger. A little stranger. It's an interesting question that caller brought up about, you know, making fun of your own. Because, you know, I certainly have always made fun of myself, and I'm certainly not immune to making fun of liberals here on this show, you know, because I think it's necessary. I think it's important. If we can't have a sense of humor about ourselves, then, you know, it's almost unbearable when people aren't able to laugh at themselves, isn't it?
I came up in an environment where people really kind of had to learn, A, to laugh at themselves, and B, to be really, really swift, you know, in responding to other people saying stuff about them.
Yeah,
trouble. I'm British. We have to laugh at ourselves. Everybody else is.
Right.
It's a nation that laughs at itself.
Yeah, it took me a long time, you know what I mean, to not take it too personally. And I've gotten so much better at it, haven't I, you guys?
Oh, yeah.
sure.
A lot of these emails, they just roll right off my back. You know what I mean? when some liberal attacks me.
Off your back and right into that furnace that's coming out right behind you.
The fire behind me. No, it took me, you know, I realized, I used to take myself very seriously. I used to think I was really angry about specific reasons. Then you realize at some point sometimes that you're just angry. We'll have to finish this later. Because there's plenty of me. But right now we got to go to the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Please get your notebooks and get your pencils. Here are your marching orders for today. 1, denounce American Idol for being talentist.
Two, vandalized Humvee dealerships with water-based acrylic paints. Just, you know, say something, but you don't have to. Three, add unflattering picture of Bush twins to FBI Al-Qaeda poster. Four, call local schools. Insist they replace social studies with MTV's new gay network. Five, call Al Gore. Tell him how totally hot he looks when he's angry. We just had him. We would have told him ourselves. But those are your marching orders for today. God bless America, and have a good day.
Do I have
enough? Get angry.
Get angry, right? Do I have time to get angry about American Idol? Because I hate it.
Tomorrow we got all day.
Practice.
All right. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we'll have all the details on John Kerry's new plan for American security. Plus, journalist Jason Vest joins us to take apart the administration's political exploitation of the intelligence community. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio.
Your lawn is being taken over by dandelions and crabgrass.
Help!
With Weed Be Gone, one product gets rid of the dandelions,
but not the crabgrass.
The other kills the crabgrass,
but not the lawn weeds. There's gotta be a better way.
There is. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass in just one easy step, and it won't harm your lawn.
Two kinds of weeds, one simple solution.
Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.